funk.
Tethered funk, we gonna tether funk the mother sucker. Tethered funk, sucker. Tethered funk, we gonna tether funk.
Who do we have left? Britney Spears, Kim Kardashian, Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
And our shop, which is actorsbreakdown.com/shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Well, look at you. All right, honey, buddy. I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here, Hammer. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, he was powerful. This is a no-win situation.
We support Brian the Hammer Jackson, and so should you.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Brian Hammer Jackson, and I am drinking coffee. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. We're heard around the world. The world holds us, hears us. Today is April 1st, April Fool's Day. 2021, also the first day of baseball. This is opening day of baseball. If you're a sports fan, and even if you're not a sports fan, they're going to do it regular. We're going to have a regular season instead of a short season of baseball. But I've been watching March Madness. Bruins, man. UCLA Bruins. Man, oh man, if you haven't been watching March Madness, you've been missing the greatest sports event for a long time. And my Bruins are going against Gonzaga. They're like the Giants, man. I mean, they're a giant in basketball. What a hell of a ride UCLA has. I'm afraid they're going to lose, but I'm going to still root for my team. Too bad we didn't have our sports show, or we don't have it. It'd be a great show, but we have this show. Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to come into the studio, you know the number. I've been off for 2 days, so I'm going to be rusty. And here's the number, 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number that gets you in the studio. Coffee. That's the number to get your voice heard around the world. Can't wait. It's opening day baseball, everybody. Opening day baseball. We're getting back to normal. That's right. Even women love baseball. It's American pastime. Our main story today, and we got a lot of stories. The Capitol police officer sued Trump over the January 6th attack. I said this on a show about when it happened. 3 days after it happened. I said, can you imagine, just for a minute, now these are the cops, they're suing the Capitol police officers, they're suing Trump, but it'll happen with other people. Let's say they arrested maybe 300 people, 400 people, people are going to lose their jobs, They're going to need lawyers. Just for a minute. Just for a minute. Can you imagine all those, but let's say 2,000 people. Just, can you imagine 3,000 people suing Trump? All those lawsuits? That's what I said way back maybe January 10th. Can you imagine what that would do? And that's a possibility too. And the reason that's a possibility, because can you imagine if you got arrested? I don't care if you're a Trump supporter or not. You lose your job. You need a lawyer. You got mortgages. You got this. You got that. It's a very expensive to defend yourself. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. When you're losing your home, you're losing everything. Guy's bragging and he has all this money and he's making millions. In fact, what Trump did was he, this attack thing, he made a lot of money off of it. He was fundraising off of it. That's what he was doing. He made millions fundraising. In fact, that's a new Democratic scam. And you're going to see this because we're going to be talking about Gates and everything else. When the Democrats want to make money, they come up with this bullshit stuff, and they fundraise off of it. They make millions. Millions. Oh, Ron Paul or all these people, they'll come up to this, like, I need help to defend myself against the Democrats. The Democrats people are coming after me. And they fundraise, and they make millions. Trump made millions off of this capital rioting. Then he had a nerve to get pissed off when the GOP tried to raise some money. And Trump just said, hey, don't use my name. Give me the money. And the GOP says, we need to raise money too. So give it to us. And then Trump got mad at them. And then the GOP came out and said, okay, give Trump the money. Pussies they are. Well, you got to remember, Trump is just a 70-something-year-old man. And I think he's a crazy guy. He has no power. He has no influence. And you're going to find out today what's going on after this guy. And I think the Trump supporter thing is fading away. Anybody who's associated with Trump... Because this guy's like a toxic person. Going to have problems. Anybody associated with Trump has some problems. They always come out. Because Trump is like, you ever been around people who are just toxic? Everybody who does it, they're going to come down with some kind of problems. You think the short run, you're going to be popular? No. You're not. Because... if you're just associated with this crook, the 45, the embarrass, disgrace 45, you're going to get some shit on you. And we're going to have some stories that will tell you that. So I think people are starting to wise up, and they call it the big lie, and people are starting to realize that he told them a big lie, and they're embarrassed that they believed it. Called the big lie. And I'll even tell you how ridiculous it is. So Trump likes to crash weddings. All right, so this is your big day. And you think that's cool? I just want you to think about that. This is your big day. You're getting married. Donald Trump comes in and makes it his day. When he was a president, okay, it's a big deal. And I don't know how he could crash a party with a Secret Service and everything like that. It'd be pretty hard to do. So I don't know if that's just legend or promotion. Because the Secret Service has to look at the party, who's there. is there any possible thing that can happen? Maybe these are people at Mar-a-Lago or Mar-a-Lago. Maybe they're having a wedding at Mar-a-Lago and you feel safe to do it. I guess that's what it is. And he crashes the party since it's already secure. But you still would have to check out the wedding party. You're president of the United States. You just can't go in and crash a party. You have no idea. They may be Biden supporters. They may be other people's supporters. They may boo you, hate you. So I don't know if that's a setup for publicity's sake. He crashed a party. Well, let's just forget about common sense for a little bit. And let's pretend it's magic that Trump finds out that he has nothing better to do. And he's just sitting around. Somebody reserved a party getting married at Mar-a-Lago. Let's go with that fairy tale. Then he gets up and says, I have nothing better to do. Meanwhile, I'm president of the United States. And I'm going to crash a wedding party. If you want to believe that fairy tale, it's even hard for me to believe it when I'm talking about it. You know what I mean? But let's go with the magical story that Trump magically, out of nowhere, and a bride and groom don't know about it. And remember, you're president of the United States. You don't know the guests who are invited, by the way. You just decide to crash a wedding party. Well, he did that. Trump did that when he's not president. In fact, he did it maybe a week ago. The couple was getting married. I guess Trump wants to make their day, and you know. I guess he wants to make their day. It's all about them, but Trump can make it better. Can you imagine that asshole doing that? Well, he did. So Trump decides to crash his wedding party on their big day. And went okay. But then it went horribly wrong. And I'm trying to type with two fingers to get to the story. I know the story. I might just paraphrase it. So guess what he talked about? I guess he wished the couple as well. But then he started talking about, you guessed it, how the elections were fraud. How the elections were fought. Can you imagine? You're getting married. He crashes a party. He's no longer the president of the United States. But he starts talking about how it's fraud. How it's fraud. Here it is right here. I think this is it. This was 3/28. So that was 2 days. What was it? 2 or 3 days ago? So this idiot goes and he crashes a party or a wedding party at Mar-a-Lago. I guess I was right. It was there. Here's the headline. Trump hogs mic at Mar-a-Lago wedding reception to bash Joe Biden. Trump says, do you miss me yet? The self-absorbed former president asks, do you miss me? Instead of talking about the happy couple. What he does. Donald Trump bashed President Joe Biden during a wedding reception at Mar-a-Lago Golf Resort Saturday night. And here's a sad video obtained by TV. I think this is it. TMZ. Let's hear it. This is your wedding night. Wedding day. You go to Mar-a-Lago. Well, hold it, Mar-a-Lago. You must be a fan of Trump, so that's already a gimme. So the idiot comes, and this is what you get. This is supposed to be the video of it. And this is according to TMZ. Here we go. Take it away, TMZ. TMZ Live.
You know, I just turned off the news. I get all these flash reports, and they're telling me about the border, to tell me about China, to tell me about Iran. How are we doing with Iran? How do you like that? Well, they were ready to make a deal. They would have done anything. They would have done anything. And this guy goes and drops sanctions. And then he says, we'd like to negotiate now. We're not dealing with the United States. They don't want to deal with us. And China, the same thing. They never treated us that way, right? You saw what happened a few days ago. It was terrible. And the border's not good. The border is the worst anybody's ever seen it. And what you see now, multiply it times 10, Jim. You would know how to handle it. He's the only one I know that might handle the border tougher than me. We have to. And the topic is in the most humanitarian way, because that's what it is. What's happening to the kids, they're living in squalor. They are living like nobody has ever seen anybody. There's never been anything like what's happening. And you're going to have hundreds, and you have it now. They have the airplane photos, the shops, and they call them shops. And these things are showing thousands and thousands of people coming up from South America. And it's going to be...
unbelievable.
Just look, it's a disaster. It's a humanitarian disaster from their standpoint. And it's going to destroy the country. And frankly, the country can't afford it because you're talking about massive and just incredible.
Unbelievable.
Really massive amounts. Our school systems, our hospital systems, everything. So it's a rough thing. And I just say, do you miss me yet? They said, get 66 million votes, sir, and the election's over. Well, I got 75 million, and they said, but you know, you saw what happened. 10:30 in the evening, all of a sudden, they said, it's a strange thing. Why are they closing up certain places, right? Yeah, a lot of things happening right now. I just wanted to say, it's an honor to be here. It's an honor to have you at Mar-a-Lago. You are a great and beautiful couple. And for many, many years of doing it.
There you go. So you're having a wedding, and you have this imbecile going in and talk about the border politics. There you go. That's what he does. You know, I don't really understand some of you Trump supporters. Because common sense is not there. What kind of common sense is it that if you had a sports team and they're losing season, you want them to trade or put somebody in so you can get better? Because if you have the same team, you're going to lose the same thing. This guy lost the House. This guy lost the Senate. This guy lost Georgia. This guy lost Arizona. He lost the presidency. He stormed the Capitol. He's a loser. And you guys have enough, you guys have nerves going 4 more years, and let's run him again in 2024. It's like a horse race. I mean, when your horse doesn't finish, not even in the top three, you're still going to bet heavy on him? I say, if you're a Republican, bring him on. And I think it's starting to kind of get a little tired, and people are starting to get bored of him. People are starting to realize he's a crazy little fucker. He's a crazy fucker. Now, I know some of you Trump supporters are talking about, well, Biden's not all there. Okay. And Trump's not there either. You lost way back in November. It is March. You live in a hotel in Mar-a-Lago, and you're still complaining that you won. That's a crazy man. And by telling you you didn't win because you have to go home to a hotel and the other guy's in the White House, maybe you lost. Maybe you lost. And then you fundraise as being a loser. Yeah. Maybe you're starting to wise up. All right, we have a good show today. The Capitol Police officer sued Trump over January 6th attack. I said this before. Can you imagine the people who got arrested at the Capitol takeover? They got sued. I mean, no, they got arrested. But can you imagine them suing Trump? Now the floodgates, and that was a kind of play on words, is open. Oh, did I mention the sex trafficker, Matt Gaetz? And what does Matt Gaetz have to do with Trump? Well, what does Matt Gaetz have to do with Epstein? Well, if you know who Matt Gaetz is, just Google it, G-A-E-T-Z. Is that goofy-looking dude who has his head so far up Trump's ass? That's the only reason why Trump is still standing, because his head is up his ass. Once he pulls his head out of Trump's ass, Trump tends to fall down. The Trumpiest Trump guy, the suckiest suck-up guy, this is a guy who wore the gas mask at the Senate thing because of mask and making fun of mask, and just really weird guy. Well, we're going to talk about his troubles with sex trafficking. Anybody who's associated with Trump gets shit on. We're going to talk about that and a lot of shit we're going to go over today. So join us. Let's hammer this out. If you want to come to the studio, know the number. 319-527-6099. Did I mention it was opening day baseball today? Did I mention that? Put me in, coach. We'll be right back with the show after this.
Yeah.
baseball, play ball. You know, before we get to our main stories, like I said, our main story is the Capitol Police Officer sued Trump over the January 6th attack. I said the question before, I knew it. It doesn't matter if you're a Trump supporter. When you have a family and you lose your job and you're humiliated and you got legal fees and everything, can you imagine? And it's going to happen. I predicted it. I didn't predict the cops were going to do it first, though. But I predicted, can you imagine? Let's say you got 2,000 people. They arrested maybe 300 or 400 people right now. They want a lawyer. Can you imagine that all these people sue Trump for the attack, blaming him, suing him? Can you imagine the lawyer? There's some lawyer out there that doesn't have the name or anything, or maybe he's a district attorney and he wants a name because he wants to run for office. Putting ads out there saying that if you feel, if you need a lawyer, for blah, 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 they will do it. I have a feeling this is going to open up. I have a feeling it's going to be the biggest lawsuit you can ever, ever see. Again, it won't matter what party you are. It matters that you're losing your home. You lost your job. You are a disgrace. You are a non-labeled traitor. It has sinked in. Even a woman from Q said this was wrong. Q was just saying, fuck it. We're not even going to say any more dates. Fuck it. Because you bought into the lie. You bought into the lie. I got some messages since I've been gone, and I'll play it for you. Here you go.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Hey, Brian, and when people write me in a message, how I get the message, people ask, how can I give you a message? You go on my Facebook page. There's two of them. One I cannot get into because it's been hacked because I've been putting things against Trump, and they hacked me. So I had to make another Facebook page. So you go to Brian Hammer Jackson, and you'll see me with the face mask. That's the right one. That's the one I'm on now. And it'll say, like, Hammer House. You know, underneath the mask. That's the right one. Some people found me. And I keep your name anonymous, and I keep your name anonymous because I got a lot of people on the page, and sometimes you write things and you post things, and people listen to the show if you're on my page because I promote the show on the page. And I want them to hassle you. You should be anonymous, be able to write what you want to write. So I keep your name anonymous. Well, there's a couple of people who wrote. Hey, Brian. Hey. This is Dan. How you doing, Dan? Are you still doing the show? For the last couple of days, I have not seen you. I'm here. And when you do the show, are you watching the trial? George Floyd. And can you make a comment on it? Sure, Dan. I will. But I'm going to keep you anonymous. When I first thought about the trial, I said, you know, I don't want to see it, and I'll tell you why I don't want to see it. First of all, I don't want to see a man suffering and be murdered in the streets. It's not fun for me. I know how it's going to end. And I don't want to keep seeing the tapes and the tapes of the poor man suffering. So I had no interest in the beginning. And then even at the end, I had no interest of hearing some people, the defense attorney, saying that it was legal. That's me looking on the outside in. Did not want to hear how this insane, murderous act could be legal. That's me looking in. No interest. And but I couldn't get away from it because I'm a newsy guy. You know, I watch CNN and MSNBC and blah, blah, blah. I couldn't get away from it. So I had to trick my mind. And what I did was like, okay, I have to watch it because nothing else is on, but I have to trick my mind into getting interested in it. So what I did was I started thinking, how can you defend it? Then I started to get curious about how can you defend this? What kind of defense can you have to defend this? That got me interested. And then when I started seeing the witnesses, oh, my God. And how they're breaking down on the stand and crying and, oh, my God. It's just horrific. I got sucked in. It's horrific. But I can only take so much. So, yeah, Dan, I am watching it. Do I want to comment on it? It's just horrific. I mean, I put it to you this way. Do I want to see an execution? Even though, you know, a murderer did it, and would there be a live camera to see a guy get fried in a chair? Or would I want to see a Middle Eastern person get their head chopped off because of a crime they committed? And would I want to see that? I just don't want to see this poor man get suffered. I mean, just get murdered, this cowardly cop. Just murders this man with a smug look on his face, with his hands in his pocket like, hey, you can't touch me. And that's exactly what he was thinking. He wasn't trying to hide it. He was killing a man in front of our eyes. And he knew he was protected by the police clause, meaning that he could not be sued. Very rarely that he would even be charged with murder. But he knew he was protected. Well, I said this about maybe a month ago. If you want to change something, you got to change the way the police people are protected as far as can't be sued or be held accountable. You got to change that shit. And they have. Well, right now there's a bill called the George Floyd Bill. It already went to Congress, but it hasn't gone through the Senate. Once it goes to the Senate, and which I hope it does, it will hold police officers accountable, and they will be on trial if they go rogue, and you can sue them and their families. It's still held up right now. The Senate has to vote for it. It's called the George Floyd Bill. Why don't these Republicans, you know, I think the Republicans have no agenda. Anything, I think they're doing the same thing. What they did was, they worked once with Obama. They're trying to do the same thing with Biden. Whatever you do, whatever he says, we're not going to go for it. We're not going to vote it, even if it was the relief plan. Even though a lot of Republican voters are with it, Biden is at 75% approval rating on how he's handling the pandemic. 75% of how he's handling the pandemic. 75%, including a lot of Republicans. But did the Republicans vote for it? No. They didn't vote for the relief package. They didn't vote for this because they're determined to stop whatever he's doing, even if it's good for the country. They're going to stand. See, these are still the last of the Trump people. And there are not many left. And there's not many people. There's not many people left. You got some holdouts. But the ones who are still holding out got some stink on them. They got some stank on them. They're slowly dying or retiring or going away. So, Dan, that's why I didn't watch it. Here's another one. Here's another message.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Ping. Again, we keep everybody anonymous. So this person's name is, hey, Brian, this is Leslie. Hello, Leslie. I missed the last show, and I'm hoping you're on today. The last time you were talking about was relationship, and I had a talk with my boyfriend. We are 34, he is 37, but I am a single parent. And you were talking about kids in high school who are dating, that when one turns 18 and the other one's still a minor, 16, and even 17, that things could go wrong and sideways real quick. And that if they have sex, that one could be arrested for being a pedophile and could ruin both their lives. It got me worried, and I studied our laws, and you are absolutely correct. Thanks for the information. Signed, Leslie. Well, we try to keep you anonymous, Leslie. I don't know how your name got leaked out, but you're welcome. Glad to help. And if you'd like to come in the studio, you know the number. The number is 319-527-6099. And when we come back, there's some news going on. I got to tell you some of these news. I mean, I do this for a reason. I stay up for you guys because some of these stories are bizarre. There's one story about an alligator, and I can't find it. I wanted to read it. And it's the most bizarre story that I'll try to get it later today. But it deals with a couple, and it deals with an alligator. And I wonder, that's not it. It is a fascinating story. It's a fascinating story about an alligator. Leslie, that was the story I did when kids are sex offenders. That's what I did. And there is some more stuff in the news right now that I can't believe. On the same thing with the relationship, I'm not a TikTok guy. But something caught my eye. So it's this woman who, she sends a message like if it's going to be our relationship show. And she's feeling pain as she just broke up with someone. I'm fascinated. She put something on TikTok that I'm really fascinated about to a point where I'm going to follow her. She got over 11,000 whatever talks. I don't know what you call them. Hits, whatever. Listens, views. But it's very interesting. And her message is very interesting. Here's her message. See if I can hear. So apparently it doesn't have anything on it. It just has her. And if you're on the TikTok, her name is Christy_L. She posted this 4 days ago. Listen to her message. I think most women can identify with it, especially if you're going through a breakup. If you're going through a breakup, here's her message.
I love you, but I hate you. I miss you, but I'm better off without you. I want you out of my life, but I never want to let you go.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
I love you, but I hate you. I miss you, but I'm better off without you. I want you out of my life, but I never want to let you go.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
I love you, but I hate you. I miss you, but I'm better off without you. I want you out of my life, but I never want to let you go.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
Isn't that haunting? I mean, it says it all there, right? When you're going through a breakup and you're confused, you know, when the women call you, but they don't want to be, you know, it's the same thing. Every man goes through this. Every person goes through it. You know, if you're a guy on the other end, you're thinking, all right, we broke up, blah, 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 but yet she called me. Or she's using an excuse for me to come over, or maybe you bang her once, you know. And then you're thinking in your head, you're a guy, you're thinking, okay, she wants to get back with me. Not necessarily so. And it's very confusing, and it could be very dangerous. Don't do that. I know you're familiar with the pussy. Familiarity, but you left the pussy. When you left her, you left the pussy. Just break up with the pussy. You cannot break up with the woman that says, can I still rent the pussy? You can't do that. You can't be a pussy renter. You can't do that. You break up with her, and you got to break up with her pussy. And if you find out that she's with somebody else, you got to let the pussy go. Say goodbye to the pussy. Give it a kiss. Goodbye. Because you can't control that pussy. Because when people try to control that pussy, you end up in jail or somebody ends up dead. But the mixed signals that if you're a guy and maybe you think she's stalking you or she's going after your girl, the girls you're with, or she's coming over, or she's driving by or whatever. There's a song on the radio, I Drive By. You said it was for. You're thinking all these signals is that she still wants you back. She doesn't want you back. No. And if you listen to it, I'm going to play it one more time. If you listen to it, this is what goes into a girl's or a woman's head.
hate you. I miss you. But I'm better off without you. I want you out of my life. But I never want to let you go.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
I love you. But I hate you. I miss you. But I'm better off without you. I want you out of my life. But I never want to let you go.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
Man, there you go. That says it all. So leave it alone. Be a big boy. And be what you are, a pussy hunter. You know what I mean? You want the challenge, you left her, and now you're like Elmer Fudd because you really don't know what you're doing. You're just walking around, you're going, I'm hunting for pussy. You know what I mean? But you can't control a person. But that goes onto a woman's head. I just want you to know that. That was very haunting.
I love you, but I hate you. I miss you, but I'm better off without you. I want you out of my life, but I never want to let you go.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
Oh, man, that's haunting. Wow. Wow. Yeah, now you understand a woman's mind. So before we get our main, there's some news I have to dump, and I put this thing for you. There's some of these news stories that I have here, and before we get to the thing, I got to get rid of them. Here we go. You get enough of Donald Trump yet? No, you haven't got enough of Donald Trump yet. Here's some Donald Trump news. This was a day ago. This was yesterday from the Business Insider. Yesterday. This guy just won't go away. He won't go away. Well, you don't want to let him go away. It's like you hate him, but then you love him. But you know he's bad for you, but you can't let him go. It's the same thing. It applies to that. Well, here's the news. Here's the news. Here you go. Here's some news. There you go. The Trump campaign's non-disclosure agreements have been voided by the courts. When you're working with Trump's administration, he made you sign an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement. Well, that's, courts just basically said that's bullshit. It's bullshit. It doesn't hold any weight. But you got people thinking it is. Well, and we'll find out the reason why. The Trump campaign's non-disclosure agreements have been voided by the courts. It's opening the door for whistleblowers. And here we go. If this dude, this clown didn't have enough problems, a federal judge voided a non-disclosure agreement signed by the members of the Trump campaign in 2016. Yes, they did. The judge ruled that the NDA was too vaguely worded to be legally enforceable. What? The ruling was in a case brought by Jessica Denson. Go, Jessica. The 2016 campaign Hispanic Outreach Director. Viva la Jessica. Oh, look at that, Jesse. I used to be Jesse's girl. What a face like that. Mm-mm. A federal judge on Tuesday overturned a non-disclosure agreement signed by members of the Donald Trump presidential campaign in 2016. A U.S. District Judge Paul, we'll call him Paul, he ruled that the language in the agreement, which all members of the 2016 campaign were required to sign, was so vague. What? I can imagine, like, well, this is a non-disclosure agreement. You are hereby have to sign this. And what it basically means is anything I say and how stupid it could be, even forcibly telling you to overthrow the United States government, that you can't talk about it. And anything else Thank you. Well, that's how vague it was, that it was not enforceable under the law. The ruling and the precision was much broader than what the campaign asserts is necessary to protect, blah, blah, blah. The non-disclosure was vague, overboard, and undefined terms also rendered it unduly burdensome. So the court said. The ruling came in a case brought by Jessica Denson, who was the campaign's Hispanic outreach director. You know, beware the Ides of March, if you know the story. And it's already happening, the Ides of March. You guys know why they said beware and who they said it to? Well, let me give you a little history lesson that I failed 3 times. So it's accurate. Yeah. Did I mention it's baseball time? Opening day today. DNA. Not DNA. NDA, non-disclosure agreement. So she argued that the non-disclosure agreement violated her First Amendment rights, and it came from the Hispanic outreach director in the Trump administration. I'm telling you, we're seeing cracks, and there's cracks all over the place. They want to talk. They want to talk. All over the place. And I said to beware of the eyes of March. Oh, God, we're in April. Ah, too late. And if you remember, the eyes of March is where the senators who stabbed Caesar. So maybe beware of the April Fool. All right, we'll go with that. Yeah. So anyway, what had happened was Dennison has separately filed a lawsuit against the campaign in 2017, alleging sexual harassment and discrimination. She was ordered to pay $50,000 to the campaign, which had argued that she violated the NDA, which is the non-disclosure agreement, just in case I can, you know, NDA sounds good. Do not get that confused with NWA, then, you know. Fuck the Police kind of song, and it's the NDA, and NDA is not really a group or a rap group, it's NWA, it's, there you go. Well, she filed the NDA as a class action lawsuit, and the motion for the summary judgment in the NDA case filed in July on behalf of Dennison and other campaign staffers. Other campaign staffers? Remember what I said in the beginning that, you know what I mean? This Trump thing is not going to last. Other Trump staffers?
Oh, my.
Yeah, no shit. Wow, this is big news here, because we were just talking about, you know, the Capitol rioters, if they had a brain in their head, they got legal fees, what they could do, and don't think there's some lawyer out there that's going to just rack up the money, because Trump is going to settle this motherfucker, and we got another story coming up why he is. Wow. They would. I think pretty soon they're thinking. But there's still a lot of Trump supporters that, you know. Oh, look at that. How about that?
So my kids don't have to forage, got two jobs to pay a mortgage, and I've also got a brain. Life's short, talk is cheap, I'll be working while you sleep. Still don't think I've got a brain. You can try, I'll do it faster. I was born a multitasker, I was raised against the grain. I took two bullets in the chest, got three kids, I never rest. And I've also got a brain. You think a resume's enough? Who'll step up when things get tough? Don't you want that kind of brain? A degree is a degree. You're gonna want someone like me. But only if you have a brain.
They're coming for you. They are thinking. Like I just saw it on TalkTik or TikTok. You hear that, Trump? TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. They're coming for you. You still, don't worry, you still got some supporters left. They sound like this. They're your supporters, Trump. They'll never be, even though you throw them under the bus. You throw them under the bus, they still support you. Pastor Party.
I grew wild away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. In my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Get lots of your supporters, Trump.
I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
In trouble,
with the thoughts I'd be thinking, I could be another Lincoln if I only had a brain.
You tried to be Lincoln, didn't you, Trump? You thought they were stupid.
Oh, I could tell you why. Oceans near the shore. Yeah, I could think of things I never thunk before. And then I'd sit and think some more. I would not just be a nothing, my head all full of stuffing, my heart all full of pain.
My heart all.
I joined the Trump campaign, but I didn't have a brain. I could be a megastar, I can wear the Trump attire, but if I only had a brain, to take it away.
Oh, I could tell you why. Oceans near the shore. Yeah, I could think of things I never thunk before. And then I'd sit and think some more.
Bring it home.
I would not just be a nothing, my head all full of stuffing, my heart all full of. If I only had a brain.
That's right.
I would dance and be merry. Life would be a dicadary if I only had a brain.
Da-da. That's right. Life could be a dinkleberry. But if you're working with Trump, it's a dingleberry. And if you join a campaign, you'll start thinking, why not join the campaign? But then I think if I had a brain, I'd get the fuck out now. Do, 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 do. So, they're coming for you, Trump. They didn't, you didn't think that they would, you could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, remember that? And not even lose a vote. Well, your NDA is no longer good. The Hispanic people want you. Other staff people want you. Behalf of Denson and other campaign staffers set the agreement, which has non-disparagement clause. It's a word. Look it up. Was plainly conceived. I do know that word. You don't need to look it up. As a tool of silence, critics of the president. And it has repeatedly been used to that end. Denison told Politico she believed that the NDA, which Trump has long used as silenced employees and critics, had stopped many former campaign staffers from speaking out. Just the terms of the NDA was widely restricted, and it was completely stifled for public debate. Truthful public debate about Trump. See, you know, if something wrong is like, you know, you have a business, right? And you go, it's a good business. And somebody's sitting next to me, or they're sitting across from me, and they're applying for a job as being an employee. And they go, well, you know, Mr. Brian. I go, yeah, you know, dumb fuck. I mean, what's your name? Oh, okay, it's Doofrick. Okay, sorry. Yeah. And he goes, well, you know, it's going to be a pleasure working here and everything. And is this place legitimate? Yeah, it's legitimate. What the hell are you talking about? We're a legitimate business. Now, sign this NDA, motherfucker. That's right. It's an NDA. It means you can't discuss anything that goes on in here and everything. We're legitimate. How dare you come in my place like that? You know you're in trouble. And how honest is this guy that if you go on in his administration and he makes you sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement says you can't talk about shit. Isn't that something strange here? Isn't something strange? It's strange. It's strange if you want to join a Trump campaign. Only if you had a brain. When he made you sign an NDA.
I could while away the hours conferring with the flowers. Consulting with the rain.
Consulting.
In my head I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching. If I only had a brain.
Yeah. It's like they're getting woke. Like the Trump people are woke. No, it's not about woke. They're broke. One thing about being woke, another thing being broke. Because being in the Trump administration, first of all, you are a scourge of the earth. You're spit at, you're yelled at, you're dinged, you're a liar. And how can you work at a place when you know you're supposed to lie, and but yet you sign an NDA because you can't tell people why you're lying because you're afraid that you would be sued for $50,000? He's holding, before you even join, before you even get a job, he is saying that if you say anything out of school or behind school, or to the press, you're going to be fined $50,000. Who would sign anything like that? I still can. So anyway, the judges are saying, no more. You're out. And they were saying right here, just the terms of NDA were widely restricted, blah, blah, blah. The NDAs are like this. NDAs like this are part of the reason why we ended up with a Donald Trump candidacy and presidency in the first place. There you go. They're keeping their mouth shut. Now, the reason that is so important, because now you have the woman who could now go forward with the sexual harassment and the sexual abuse and, quote, rape. Now she can go forward with it. And, of course, told her to. And she filed Trump defamed her in a defamatory, I can't even say defamatory, defamatory, whatever. You know, she defamed her name and everything. So that can go there. So now the court says, go after him. And she says, okay. And I'm going to let him know that he tried to put his little pinky in my hoo-ha. Trump tried to nail her with the presidential seal. That's right. Trump tried to hump, and she was not going for it, not in the least. So that's more problems Trump has. It's a lot more problems Trump has, and we're not even up to our main story yet. We're not up to it, because I got to still read the news. I'm still behind the news. I watch Morning Joe. Comes on at 3 o'clock in the morning, my time, California. I can see it live. I watch it. It's on MSNBC. Joe Scarborough used to be a Republican, but now he's against the Trump administration. It's funny. You know, it's unbelievable, but he's funny sometimes. So apparently what happened, I'm not going to read the whole story, but apparently what had happened was, sometimes I crack myself up. If it wasn't for the voices in my head to keep me company, I'd have been off the show about a half an hour ago. We would have ended it. But the voices cracked me up. So Biden had a problem with Major. Major is the dog. Okay, he had a little biting incident. Okay, so what Biden did was took Major and sent Major back home. Okay, and then and he bought it. He, I guess he bit a Secret Service person. So then they brought Major back. Well, when they thought Major was cool, but all of a sudden Major bit somebody again. And so Joe Scarbo is laughing about it, and he said it on TV. So he says, Joe Scarborough repeatedly called for Major Biden's the president dog to be sent to Dog Jesus on Wednesday morning while discussing the second headline-making biting incident. The animal has had since moved from the White House. Co-host and wife Mika Berensky argued against euthanizing President Joe Biden's dog and, in fact, pitted the good boy, but Scarborough was insisted. He said, "Dog Jesus, many, many times. the dog needs to be sent to Jesus. Dog Jesus." And Joe says, I'll be telling the truth to a dog that bit a person. If the dog bit two people, that dog might better get his affairs in order and prepared to meet Dog Jesus, because no, the dog cannot bite two people. And I thought that was funny. Dog Jesus. All right, we're almost done with the news. I wanted to do the alligator story because I really thought that was funny. I can't find it. Maybe I'll find it last, but I'll just, I think it was the Trump administration of the alligator story. Basically, it was some group that this person, you got to hear this mafia guy, when dumb fuck mafia goes really stupid. But anyway, the alligator story was this group says that if you don't do this, we're going to let the alligator eat you. That's basically, I'll find the story. So it was serious. It's like, if you don't do this, we're going to have our alligators eat you. And I'm just thinking the alligator's going, what? Eat her? I hardly know her. I was all night waiting for that joke. Eat her? I hardly know her, said the alligator. Come on. I waited a long time to do that. Really? I thought that was funny. Okay. Oh, okay. I'm going to still give me this. Thank you. Good morning, King.
Hey, good morning, Brian. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. How you doing, buddy? How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I just want to let all my listeners know, including yourself, that I'm deleting my Mr. King webpage. And so a few people, they be on the lookout for a request from me today, you know. Sent a request to a few people, you know, and but I'll be working off my original page, you know. There was a lot of messages coming in on my Mr. King web, and I felt bad because I couldn't really respond to everybody like I wanted to. Couldn't find anybody to really run that page, you know, because it was really becoming active, you know. But I didn't want to feel like I was abandoning anybody, so I just, you know, I'm going to be fair and just delete it and just run off one page. And then I will be creating an actual, like, King Web-like page. And so that's the way, you know, those who don't want to connect with me on my personal page or anything like that, then they can, you know, like my fan page or whatever. So I made a status letting everybody know that, because I don't want nobody feeling like, oh, man, he done deleted me, this and that. So.
Well, I have it here. I saw that, King. I did see that.
Yeah.
And I saw that, so I made sure that I hit the link, and I can still find you.
Yeah.
Is it going to be, when you make your another page, is it going to be Mr. King Web, or is it going to be King Web for people to look out for?
Well, what I'm going to do is probably after tonight when I shut it down, I'm going I'm going to probably look into making just a regular like page.
Right.
And that's the way, you know, it'll be my regular fan page where everybody can just like, you know.
Okay.
The only difference is on Facebook, it doesn't let me use the exclamation point. So it'll be spelled regular. It'll be just the KINGWEB with one B at the end, you know. So.
Right.
But.
Right.
But other than that, you know, I just, it was becoming too much, and I didn't want to felt like everybody was, being ignored and all that. So I had to reach out to a few people today before I came on to let them know we're going to look out for a friend request. And so, yeah, other than that, though, I'm doing pretty good,
Okay. Well, it's good to hear you, man. And they heard you, and your friends heard you, too.
Oh, so yeah.
We'll be watching for you.
Yeah.
We'll be watching
for
you.
Oh, yeah.
I've been out of sync for a couple of days, so I got a couple of interviews coming up.
Man.
I don't even know what today is. Yeah, there'll be a couple of interviews. I'm going to start the thing. Now on when
That's
I interview,
good.
I'm on Zoom. Yeah, I'm going to be on Zoom. And simultaneously, you'll hear it on Blog Talk, but you'll be able to – I got to create the YouTube page, and you'll be able to go there and watch the live performance.
That'd be good.
I'll probably hear you guys. So that's what I'll be doing today.
Yeah.
But, dude, thank you, man. Yeah,
I think they'll like you, and
I think they'll like me.
And I think this is something good, It's something
really?
Really good, It is.
Yeah.
It's really good,
I can hear people now. That's what that motherfucker looked like. Let's go get him. Oh, shit.
No,
right? Yeah, they would kick his ass now. We know where he is.
Like, wait a minute, I seen him at Waffle House.
Exactly. That's that dude.
Yeah.
That's that dude at Walmart. That's that dude starting shit all the time. That's that dude that don't wear a mask.
Yeah, that's
the thing. It's funny, King.
But it'll be good,
It'll
be really good because, people can, share the link and they'll have something to carry on through the rest of their life, So, it'll be good.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how that goes. But thank you, King.
Yeah.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Man, I miss you, dude.
Well.
Miss you, dude.
Yeah.
I got a story.
I was going to say, it'll be good for those that have Zoom,
Right.
I mean, I would definitely try it out for the rest of the year, because, people would like that, They would definitely like that, so.
Yeah.
And,
Well, they would be able to, the interview, if they see it on Zoom, but the regular people, you could go on YouTube and see it. Because I would record it and just load it up, and you can see, that's how Brian looks when he's looking all crazy and shit. They're going to eye roll
that's
back.
Look.
Dude don't even comb his hair. Look at them nappy. Look at them naps on his hair. He just don't care. I'm a Jew. Fuck you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh man, I was watching. There was some. We got Cinemax and HBO. HBO Max. So I've been watching some movies that are usually in the theater at the same time. So I can watch it on Cinemax. And I saw King Kong last night. Oh, man, I didn't understand it. It was stupid. How many times? I don't know, King. I don't know about the movies. Basically, there's some movies coming out in the theaters now here in California because they opened it up. And these movies suck, man. They just all suck. I just don't know what's happening to the movies. Do you feel comfortable taking your kids to the movies right now? I don't know in Arizona if you have it open, but here in California we do.
No, it would be nice to do it, but like I told kids, you guys want to eat snacks, you want to drink and drink soda or juice or whatever. I said all it takes is for one person to want to go to the restroom, then we all have to get it. I said why would I want to spend over $50 to go see a movie and you guys have to get up and go use the restroom and we miss it? I said no, I don't think right now is a good time, I said I'm not going to spend that kind of money,
Right.
And so I said nuh-uh. So what I did, I ordered me a Fire Stick and I downloaded a bunch of different apps, and every new movie that comes out, I can watch it right here at home,
Damn, King. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What a way to do it. I got to start doing that. I got myself a Roku. So,
yeah.
I got to start doing it.
Roku is, the Roku is all right. You know what I mean? Like, because I have the I have a TCL TV, and you know, like, I mean, you can watch different stuff. You know what I mean? But
right.
The Roku and the TCL, it comes with all these different apps. But if you really want to get everything, you got to get you a Fire Stick, you know.
Right.
I got the Fire Stick, and my sister's husband, he had jailbroken and everything. And so I can get all these different apps. I've been watching everything. Like, me and the kids had watched the new Tom and Jerry movie. Like, it was pretty dope.
Really?
You know?
Damn.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty dope. And then this weekend I'll probably watch that Aretha Franklin movie, you know.
Oh, I am glad you oh man, King, you don't know what you reminded me of, because I purposely went up, let's see, about an hour. Oh shit. I wonder, do I have enough time for it? King, right now on HBO Max, I don't know if it's on HBO Max, I think it is. They're doing a Tina Turner story. They're doing a Tina Turner story.
Oh, yeah.
From
Ike
and everything.
Yeah.
And I didn't get past it. You know, it's kind of, But about 8 months ago, I saved a Tina Turner story. This is the other one, her true story. That was Tina then. If we have time, and I say we, you got to hear the Tina Turner now. It is
so
fucking sad, because she had a stroke. People don't know that.
Yeah.
And then she's talking about her mental illness. Oh, hell no. So I have that tape, and I wanted to play it. So after I get through with this shit, I'm going to play that. It is, oh, my God. I didn't know she had 2 or 3 strokes, man. I had no idea. Nope. Did you know that? I had no idea.
She done went through a whole lot of. She done went through a lot, you know.
Right.
From dealing with the beatings to dealing with, you know, the different lawsuits that she won. You know what I mean, like, she dealt with a whole lot. You know what I mean. Then you got to think about the media and the tabloids and you know, some of the extra stress from Ike Turner's family. You know, she's dealing with a lot. And so when she made that public announcement talking about she's, you know, really done with music and all that stuff, she's on her last leg right now. And so, you know, by the grace of God, you know, she's sticking with us, you know. But I don't know. I mean, I don't see her living the rest. I don't see her making it through the rest of this year. You know, she's really giving up. And I wish she, I mean, I can't say. I don't want her to give up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Part of life. But, you know, hopefully she doesn't give up, you know, and she just, you know, stay strong. But it's hard. It's hard when you really dealt with that kind of life. You know what I mean? It's sad. It's hard.
You know, you sell your fucking soul, man. You sell your soul.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to. You can't get there without selling your soul. I mean, I mean, you got to hear this. It is so fucking sad, man. I'll see if I can get through these stories, and then we can play it. But you know,
all right, cool.
I love Dumb Criminals. I really love them. It's my favorite. I love mascots. You know the mascots where the people are in the costumes and they do the thing. I love when they fight. It's hysterical to me, where you get the people in the costumes and they, you know, you got the chicken, mascot of a chicken and a bulldog, and they're just hitting each other and trying to pull their heads off. To me, I cannot stop laughing. It's like cartoons come to life. And my second best, Dumb Criminals. You're not going to believe this dumb motherfucker, man. You're not going to, the dumbest criminal ever. I don't even have a sound bite for this guy. Let me see if I get something has. It's just the dumbest fuck. This guy's a major criminal, too. And he pulled a dumb fuck move. You're not going to believe what this motherfucker did. Here we go. Fugitive mafia. He's a mafioso. A mafioso. And he did this stupid thing. He had people. He went in hiding for years so people won't find who he was. killed people, but he went in hiding. And you know what this motherfucker did? He decided, because he loves to cook, he decided to get a YouTube channel of him cooking. And they caught him on a YouTube cooking show. No lie. That's how they caught him. I'll read the story. I got to find out his name because maybe he's on YouTube. I can see his kind of Mark. Is that him? Ooh. I wonder if he has a... I'm going to see if he's still up there on his cooking show. Wait a minute. This should be funny. I just love dumb people. So he's a mafioso. They've been looking for this guy, one of the most notorious guys around. And he did... Yes, sir! This is him and his cook. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's him getting arrested. No, that's him killing somebody. Oh, there he is. He's making something. No, that's him getting arrested again. Oh, there it is. There's his cooking channel. Let me see. Wait a minute. Is that it? Him and his cooking? The Ben? No, no, no. Is that his cooking channel? Well, here it is. Here's the thing. Let's see if we can play it. So this motherfucker decides he's a mafioso, and he decides to have a cooking channel. Let's hear the story.
Mafia fugitive caught after posting cooking show on YouTube. A fugitive Italian gangster's urge to show off his cooking skills has landed him in jail after 7 years on the run. Italian police tracked down Mark Farron Claude Bayard through the culinary videos he had uploaded to YouTube. While he carefully hid his face, he failed to disguise his body tattoos. The alleged member of the 'Ndrangheta crime gang was arrested in the Dominican Republic last Wednesday and has now been extradited back to Italy. Bayard had reportedly been leading a quiet life in the town of Boca Chica, police said in a statement. He had been on the run since 2014, when he was wanted by police for allegedly trafficking cocaine into the Netherlands on behalf of the Caciola clan of the 'Ndrangheta Mafia. The 'Ndrangheta is considered one of the world's most powerful organized crime groups because it controls most of the cocaine entering Europe. They are all now facing justice in the biggest mafia trial Italy has seen in decades. There are 355 alleged mobsters and corrupt officials who have been charged after a long investigation into the 'Ndrangheta group. During a pretrial hearing, it took more than 3 hours to read the names of the defendants, AFP news agency reported at the time. The charge sheet includes murder, drug trafficking, extortion, and money laundering. More than 900 witnesses are expected to give evidence at the trial, which opened in January and will last 2 years.
Wow. Wow. And a bad cooking channel. I'm trying to see if I can actually see him cook. No, that's not him. I want to see him actually. I want to see one of his shows. I'm looking right here. Let's put an Italian guy who was caught. Oh, it's very interesting. So I can't find one of his cook. Well, there he is in jail. Maybe he's cooking for them. Chef. Anyway, I guess they pulled off his cooking show. Damn, I want to see how he. Is that him? No. Anyway, so that's the story. This is how dumb people are. This is it. He had evaded authorities for more than 6 years before he was taken into custody last week in a quiet town of Boca Chica. That's what the BBC reported. The 53-year-old alleged member of the whatever crime gang, Yogreta crime gang, has been wanted by authorities for allegedly trafficking cocaine. Cocaine's a hell of a drug. In the nether regions. Oh, not your nether regions, in the nether lands. Your nether regions is below your waist, and you should not have cocaine there. So don't get confused with the nether regions, with the nether lands. It's a lands, it's a country. But some of y'all are mules out there, and you've been smuggling your cocaine between your hoochie-coochie. You know who you are. You can always tell a woman who's smuggling cocaine between her pussy, man. Because you know why? How you could tell? Why am I going out to such a... You know how you could tell that a woman is smuggling cocaine at her pussy? It's because you go down there and her lips are still flapping. Oh, boy. I shouldn't have come back on the air, should I? I don't know why.
That's a good one, though.
Thank you, King. 347, you're live on the air. 347.
Hello, how are you?
I'm Mr. Hotep. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, man. Good. I seem to call at the time when you're having some unique mental jokes.
Breakdown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Break it on. I said, oh, man, I called at the right time to help you out.
Thank you, man. I have King in the studio, King Hotep. You guys know each other, right?
Yeah, I recall the name. I think we may have spoken in the past. Have we, King?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, man? What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm cool.
Wow. No, we were just talking about mafia and dumb criminals. So this guy who's been running around avoiding law enforcement, he decides to do a cooking show on YouTube. And they busted him there. They noticed his tattoos. And he was gone. He was history. He was history. Unbelievable. I still like that lip joke, though. Be fine.
Yeah,
what we do... Yeah.
Can I tell you what I think of the whole drug game?
Yeah.
There are two types of drugs. One is legal drugs that big pharmaceuticals and hospitals pimp on us all the time. And then the other are what are called street drugs that regular
right.
people, even the mafia, they come from, you know, street backgrounds, right? And that's the one that law enforcement pursues when most people are simply self-medicating because they're in homes or communities where there's a lot of pain and not enough treatment and not enough political representation. So, you know, they think, you know what I mean? I think they should legalize everything. It'll bring down the price. It will cut down on all the violence against marginalized communities, and it'll put big pharmaceuticals out of business. Even though I don't do any drugs, I'm for legalizing
right.
it all. Thank you.
Really? You know, I thought that way once. I thought that, you know, once you legalize it, you can regulate it. I think a lot of people are getting, you know, bad cuts of cocaine, whatever. They put in fentanyl in the cocaine. They put shit. I remember college when I tried my first joint, that the dude put PCP in it, you know.
Oh.
So you're, yeah, they used to do that too. They used to call them sherms or whatever back in the day. But you're right. If they did legal, well, technically it is legal because these, methadone, and they prescribe some of these medications that's just as strong as heroin. I forgot what they're called. But, yeah, I mean, they're legal. If the pharmacist tells you to take it, it's the same equivalent. But I'm for that. So it could be regulated and make sure that people aren't getting harmed taking a shit.
Yeah. And look at weed. Weed, they were
right.
killing us, jailing us, sending in SWAT teams to kick down your door, drag you out naked. Now that
right.
the system has decided weed is okay, the ones making money aren't brown and black people, but regular Becky has a drug spot in the same spot where Raheem used to have his door kicked down when him and his boys tried to sell a Nickelback.
Oh, we tell a story. Raheem is trying to make him trying to
like,
get a get a buy.
Yeah,
but Becky
Becky's
moved
like,
in.
Excuse me. I'm in. And he's still in jail, by the way, looking out for Bubba, who has cocaine on his lips. Slapping. And slapping and gapping as he's rapping.
That's right.
Free my people.
But Becky now has a Starbucks and she's in a daycare center.
A limousine, stops on Wall Street, and she's looking down on Shaniqua that's pimping on the corner.
Oh, man.
It's a fucked up world, dog. I'm telling you. It's not a dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's the reality, bro. It's unfortunate.
Man.
It is unfortunate, you know? It's
yeah.
like, oh, man. It's. We'll get to the – I got some stories here, but any of you guys watching the – you know, the trial, the George Floyd, you know, the dude on trial, seen it live with George Floyd.
Yeah, I was watching some of it yesterday, and, you know,
really?
just watching that video, And then watching that guy that was up on the stand cry, I said to myself, damn, you know, for him to see all that. And, I mean, it's crazy. But to see that part where that damn officer was leaning on his neck and he kept pushing down on his neck, I said, wow. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But right now, I just pray that they – I pray that the officer gets, you know, I just hope he gets served, you know what I mean? I hope he gets served because the way they were acting yesterday, they seem like they're going to try to pull something to where the man's going to get off. But you can clearly can clearly see that there's a witness there, and you can clearly see what they did to the man wasn't right, you know? But the way they handle in this case, they seem like they're going to try to tweak some of the answers to where I don't know. It just don't seem right, you know. But all I can say, if this officer gets off, they about to fuck up Minneapolis. That's all I can say.
I know.
Yeah, it's just don't get ugly.
It's like I said in the beginning, I didn't want to watch it because I didn't want to see the man suffer, and I didn't want to hear from the defense some shit that is legal. You know, I did not want to hear how that could be legal from the. But then I started thinking, like I said, I tricked myself in my brain and says, what possible defense can they have? And then I had to find out. I got more curious to find out what is your defense and how are you going to cross examine these witnesses. What are you going to – and that, then I got curious about that, and that dragged me in. But, yeah, it is sick. It is just fucking sick. And,
well, you know what I would like to do? I would like to – because I haven't really kept up with everybody that comes on here, but I would sure love to bring in – I would like to bring in an ex-police officer on this show and see if they can explain to us their I mean, they don't have to explain to us everything that they do in training, but they can give us an explanation on if they're trained to lean on the knee and, you know, some other things, because I think right now if Biden really wants to help out America, he should definitely try to switch up the training courses when officers are out to try to become an officer, you know. Me personally, I didn't know that they trained to lean on your neck and to kill you, you know what I mean? Because that's the message I'm getting, you know. You know, so, but it would be nice if we could find somebody that's an ex-police officer or someone who is willing to come on and do an interview, because, you know, the world needs to hear that, because right now we haven't had, well, at least I haven't heard anybody who's an ex-police officer, police officer. I haven't heard anybody or seen anybody get up and explain that, well, this is one of our, you know, training procedures that we do and this, and, you know, it'd be nice if we can get somebody on the show to explain that, because the way that officer was leaning on George Floyd's neck, I don't think that's part of their training course, you know.
Well, King and Hammer and present and future listeners, our problems are multifaceted. One is that we do not have an infrastructure to fight these issues. So Al Sharpton's organization, the UNIA, is another organization that's barely existed. The Organization for African Unity, there are all kinds of entities that had existed, most of which don't exist, and the ones that exist now tend to be coonery, C-O-O-N-E-R-Y in blackface. And so without that infrastructure, Hammer's show and many of us are trying in our own lives to effect positive change for black, Moorish, African, African-Americans from the diaspora, but we don't have, A, the funding, B, the sponsors to do it the way that the racists and the coons do, because they have CIA money, FBI money, Mossad money, et cetera. So it makes it very difficult to fight a racist, genocidal system without sufficient advertising revenue and without sufficient computers that are up to par and without researchers and analysts and accountants and forensic accountants more specifically. In other words, we're fighting a battle that I don't see us winning without the right resources in place. And nor do we have people with the black mindset. We're black people with white mindsets. We're not into Africa. We're not into speaking Yoruba. We're not into the Ashanti, the Olmecs. If you're dark, you're down at the bottom. We're into the straight hair and the light skin. Our stars marry lighter women consistently. And so we're fucked up, basically. I am not optimistic about the outcome, but if one thing we could do, we know that he'll probably lose. Where is the infrastructure so that when we'll lose. When this guy gets off, where are the groups coming together to say, look, when he gets off, what will we do in the media? Which areas will pick it? Who will have the milk and protect people when they're maced? Who are the lawyers that will be in place? We don't even operate like a small-time sole proprietorship intelligently. We're very ADHOC, ad hoc, and when it happens, we'll hit the streets, and it'll be the same, you know. I think it's fuckery. We're not organized. I don't know what's wrong with us.
Well,
but,
the sad part
about it is around the time that Obama was in office, before Obama got in office, I remember they were holding training sessions and all these other different training sessions. They were holding those sessions because they were training officers how to take down black people, you know what I mean? How to take down a black man. The sad part about it is I remember when they uploaded the video on YouTube, you know, and they had just published it, and I was watching the video, and I said, holy shit. I said, something's getting ready to go down, you know, because you're training officers all over the world how to take down a black person. I said, that's some fucking racist-ass shit. Like, damn, you know what I mean? What you trying to say? You know, and the thing is, there's always going to be a battle between black folks versus America. You know what I mean? You know, they look at us as a threat. And I think it's bullshit. You know what I mean? Because, you know, if you look out throughout the history books, technically, we're the reason why rich motherfuckers can sit up and count money. You know what I mean? You know, you got to turn on the light to count money. We invented the light bulbs, all that shit. You know what I mean? And they look at us as a threat. You know what I mean? I said, damn. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. You know what I mean? So, you know, some people they'll talk the bullshit. But me, I'm going to cut to the chase and just say that we're they fear us. You know what I mean? They fear us. And obviously, whatever George Floyd did, they really could have handled it a different way. You know what I mean? You know, but although I do feel George Floyd, he should have just gotten the car and he should have been relaxed, you know. But when you do, I guess to them, they felt like he was resisting arrest or fighting. But how can you resist the arrest when you're already inside the car, you know? You know? I mean,
well, it's a,
so.
It's a natural. Sorry, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a natural human response to pain to do something with your body. And for some people, they freeze. So if police officers interact with another Homo sapien human and you put handcuffs on the person, that's going to release hormones in the body. If people aren't trained for those scenarios, they're either going to freeze or they're going to fight back. It's not just black people. It's people generally.
Yeah.
When you combine that with the fact that we're afraid of being killed, it's like seeing Nazis coming at us. Our heart is going to start beating, and our fight or flight will kick in, and then people sit back, Beckys and Karens and their supporters, and say, oh, come on, just be relaxed.
Yeah.
Come
but,
on,
you know,
there's nothing to it. By the way, Lewis Howard Latimer invented the filament for the light bulb. Someone else did the exterior, but he was a genius that goes unrecognized often.
There you go. But, you know, after watching it, when they, you know, I figured it out, and this is just my opinion. They had this old guy. I liked the man, and that's the same one that you were watching, King. He's an older guy. He had a third-grade education. I go, oh, here we go. But he was intelligent.
You talking about the one that was wearing the white glasses?
Yeah, him. I liked him. Him.
Yeah. Talking about when he was watching that video and seeing them leaning his neck and stuff, he broke down, and I was like, oh shit, you know. And I mean, oh man.
And the way he was describing it on a video, because you could see him on a video going, get in the car, man. Don't fight him, man. Get in the car, bro. Get in the car. Yep. You know, his heart was just going out to George Floyd. And when they showed the first time he got arrested, the first cops on the scene, when they tried to put him in the car, Floyd didn't want to go. And that's what the old guy was saying. Just get in the car. So here's my theory. How do we get from the car to the knee? My theory is when I watched it, it's like, okay, you don't want to get in a car? All right. And as soon as they pulled him out of the car, the sad thing Floyd said to the officer was, thank you, man. Thank you. Praise Jesus. Thank you, man. And the dude put him right on the floor, on the ground, and put his knee on his neck. And so I'm thinking this motherfucker is saying, okay, you don't want to cooperate? This is what I'm going to do to you for not cooperating. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happened with the knee on the neck, because he had him in a car, they pulled him out, and they did that shit. So that's what I'm thinking would happen.
But I was confused. I was confused because I'm like, wait a minute. How did he get on the other side of the car? And I said to myself, if they had all the doors shut, you know, if they had both of the back doors, like, and, you know, the other back door that was open to get him in, they had the other door on opposite side of him closed, then he would have been fine in that back seat, you know?
Right.
But they opened it up, and then that's when he started scooting out. They should have left the other door closed, throw him in the back of the car, come on, you know?
Right.
But they exactly knew what they were doing. They figured, well, if I open up this door, he'll fall out head first, and then boom, you know what I mean? So either way, they killed that man. And they shouldn't have done that, you know. And the sad part about it is the older guy, you know, that man you were just talking about that was up on the stand, for him to witness all that, I guarantee you they're going to hire somebody to try to kill him before this trial is over. That's what's going to happen, you know. That's exactly what's going to happen because, you know, that's how the system works. You know, it's pretty much you versus the government and everybody else. You know, when they realized that this black guy was on that stand giving every detail, the sad part is it's all being recorded. You know, the other sad part is before this case is done, he will have to go back up on that stage. You know, this man lived. If this man lives through this whole case, it'll be shocking to me. You know what I mean? Because normally in this situation, we don't live that long, you know? I mean, come on. You know? And it's sad because when you think about it, I'm trying to think, when you think about it, I don't ever recall any witnesses being there for Mike Brown, Eric Garner, you know, the Trayvon Martin. I don't recall any witnesses, to be honest. They're all silent. You know what I mean?
Right.
Isn't that weird? It's weird.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just hope this man's family is watching over him, you know, because right now I guarantee you there's an unmarked car parked somewhere watching this man's whereabouts, you know, and they're gonna try to knock him off. And once they do that, then this case will be done. That officer's gonna get off. You know what I mean? And it's sad. That's normally how they do it. You know,
his name is Derek Chauvin, Chauvin. Again, it goes back to the point I was making about not having the infrastructure. We don't have a security
right.
team to protect our witnesses. So a million of us
yep.
and white progressives will go in the street when the cop gets off. But we don't have
right.
two
yep.
people making sure that the man is protected, making sure that he has food in his fridge. When Eric
right.
Garner
yep.
was choked, the person that shot the video footage, a Puerto Rican brother, ended up in jail.
Mm-hmm. Seriously?
So why would
are you
yeah,
serious?
So why would people? Yeah, they targeted
wow.
him.
Yes,
and they found something on him, and they ended up arresting him and putting him in jail. So if you have
damn.
A family, right? You know, if you come forward, yeah. Oh, and he did have a record in the past, but a lot of brothers
mm-hmm.
and sisters make that street income because they don't have the resources to get the other types of jobs. And plus, even people like some of us who have qualifications, there are very few
mm-hmm.
opportunities out there, especially if we're outspoken. So
right.
some brothers start slinging rock or doing what they have to. But we don't have the infrastructure, so why would someone shoot video footage and risk their life again
mm-hmm.
if they see the last person went to jail and the last one didn't get food in the fridge? You know, I don't understand us, Ben. I'm trying to, but it's very difficult to comprehend what we do to each other, let alone what the system does to us.
Right. Well, there is a bill right now that passed through the House. It's called the George Floyd Bill. It passed the House, haven't passed the Senate. What this bill does is it takes away the immunity of police officers. What this bill does is that, you know, the police officer, like if you saw that video of that dude with his hand in his pocket, that cop, that murderous, cowardly, fucked up cop who put his
yeah.
knee on George Floyd's neck, he wasn't worried about shit. He was just sitting there smirking. He knew he was protected. So what this bill does, it takes away the immunity for police officers. So now they can go to jail, and now you can sue them. Better yet, you can sue them. See, them going to jail, setting up in a nice place, and then they're being transferred. When you take a man's money away, now you're talking. You take away his way
yeah.
of living, you know. He can't pay his bills, and he loses his house. Now you're talking. So this is what this bill does, that it takes away the cop's immunity, and you can sue the motherfucker now. So it passed the House so far. It was on March 3rd, but it didn't pass the Senate. And this is what I don't like about Biden. See, Biden, to me, I like what he's doing behind the scenes. Okay. But he doesn't have any Biden balls. And he's trying to be everybody's friend, and I want to talk to you on camera. And he comes up with this kumbaya bullshit. It's like, Biden, we're at war, dude. What are you doing? Right now you have the filibuster. Get rid of it. It's in your power. You can get rid of this filibuster, and you can get these things through. You got a year and a half to get this fucker through, because in the midterms, you know what's going to happen. The Senate will turn to Republicans, and you're going to be a lame duck. So do the shit now while you have the power, while we have the people, and get this shit done. And he won't do it, and that pisses me off. It drives me crazy.
Hello?
Man. Yeah. Can you hear us, Hotep?
I was on mute, and then
okay.
Biden, Obama, et cetera, brother. Oh, I'm sorry. I
yeah.
wasn't meaning to be rude, by the way. I was actually
no,
talking
okay.
to someone else, and yeah. So they're not for us. Biden and Obama represent, if we're being dragged over the cliff, they stand in
right.
and give us water.
Right.
We're not being
right.
stopped from being dragged over the cliff. They represent a temporary reprieve from execution. So we're supposed to be executed tonight, and they come in and say, good news, I got you a glass of water. I don't think the political systems of two-party systems are meant for us. I think that unless we set up a new structure, we won't get anything. But also, and by the way, I'm sorry for saying hello. That was not the way I roll, so I don't want it to come off like I was being
no,
rude.
It's
I apologize.
Okay.
You know,
it's all right.
Yeah, people hear the show and like, who the hell is this motherfucker? There's one group that I look at that's doing it right, even though I don't agree with their ideology on Allah, Nation of Islam. When
right.
was the last time you saw a police officer beat up a Nation of Islam? I've never seen
that's
that.
That's true.
Other than Malcolm.
That's true. That's
so if
true.
We started to look, disregard Allah, but look at, well, what is Nation of Islam doing right where they don't get
mm-hmm.
fucked with?
Right.
Excluding that Farrakhan on the top is taking a lot of the money and he's handing off the money purses to his family, I think it's just a game. But they're doing something right where they don't get fucked with. So that's
right.
Something to think about. Thanks. Sorry for interjecting.
Yeah,
you're right about that. You're right about that.
Well, that goes to our other story and our main story that we're going to do, because I'm looking at the time and I really want to get to the other one. So I even said this. I said this six months ago, that the motherfuckers are going to sue Trump. Now, I didn't expect the cops to do it, the Capitol Police. Can you imagine, and I keep saying this, and it's still blowing my mind. They arrested maybe 300-500 people who stormed the Capitol. They need lawyers and shit. They probably lost their job. Their faces all over the place, blah, blah, blah. They're going to need a lawyer. Can you imagine? And that fucking lawyer is going to need to get paid. So can you imagine that lawyer saying, all right, let's sue Trump. I mean, he's the reason why you went to the Capitol, right? He's the reason why you broke through, because you bought the lie. You bought the lie. Trump told you the lie. You believed the lie. So you went to the Capitol and you stormed the Capitol. And now your ass is in federal jail. Let's sue him. Can you imagine if they got a brain and all those 2,000 people, 3,000 people sued Trump? Can you? And it's going to happen. Don't think it won't. It's going to frickin' happen. Well, right now we have two Capitol Police officers are suing Trump over the January 6th attack. It's already happening. Two Capitol Police officers who battled the mob of Donald Trump supporters that stormed the Capitol on January 6th are suing him. They're suing the former president for physical and emotional injuries that they have suffered in the attack. About 140 police officers were injured. So you got two, and you know once they open up that gate, there's going to be a flood. And a federal suit filed Tuesday in the D.C. officer James Blassingale and Sidney Hemby. Trump rallied the insurrectionists with baseless election fraud claims that eventually accumulated in the breach of the Capitol that left five dead. One police officer lost an eye. I say, go after Trump, an eye for an eye. That is happening right now, my friends. The lawsuit is the first brought by the Capitol Police officers against Trump. This guy was a 17-year veteran on a police force. And he claims Trump was directly responsible for inciting a mob of supporters gathered at his Stop the Steal rally outside the White House. And encouraged by Trump's orders to march to the Capitol, that's what the lawsuit says, and the mob attacked the officers and destroyed federal property as lawmakers meant to certify Joe Biden as president. There you go. That's two. I fucking guarantee you they're going to open this shit up. There's going to be more officers suing Trump. There's going to be more rally people. There's already talk with rally people saying that we were duped. Trump lied to us. He was supposed to march with us. He was supposed to be the Q people are going to even sue Trump. Can you imagine the Q people suing Trump? My God. This guy is not going to do well. I predict this. It's starting to fall apart. I don't want to say anything, but I'm taking a long shot. Suicidal. Because when they go after his kids, and they're going to do it, they're already going after Weisenberg. Oh, man, can you believe that shit? And I don't even have that up. Oh, shit, that's cool. Weisenberg, here I go. Weisenberg is the guy with the money. You remember, you go back to Capone, Al Capone. They couldn't get Al Capone. Al Capone was a gangster. And the feds tried to get Al Capone. He's murdering people. They couldn't get him. So they hired this special G-men section. And they said, well, we can't get Capone. Let's go after the guy who does his taxes. Follow the money. They went after the tax guy. The tax guy flipped on Capone. Capone spent the rest of his years in jail, and he died of syphilis in jail. I don't know how he caught syphilis in jail. That's another story. They're doing the same thing with Weisselberg. Weisselberg is the guy who handles all the Trump finances. His Fred, Trump's father, is a big friend of Weisselberg. And Fred says, I want you to handle all my money because I don't trust this this dumb fuck I call son. Trump kept Weisselberg on his administration, and they're going after him now. They're going after Weisselberg so he can flip on Trump, because now the prosecutors have nothing but mob guys, you know, who put mob guys in jail. That's their specialty. Squeezing the motherfucker right now. They're squeezing the motherfucker, and he's going to squeal like a pig. So he has that going on. He has these cops suing him. He has this woman suing him for defamation of her rape, and including rape. He has these other people, this Hispanic police person who was on it, not a police person, but a Hispanic person who is with his staff member. She's suing him. This guy, and then the Republicans have the nerve to say, Donald Trump's going to lead our party? This guy, how pathetic is that? How pathetic to even think, well, let's run this guy 2024. Are you fucking kidding me? The guy's under indictment, and there's more coming. This is ridiculous. But they're starting to wake up. They're starting to wake up. And you got to really listen to the latest. This is Rachel Maddow. I know this is where you guys can go to the bathroom and everything, but keep the radio going. You got to hear this. If you're going to hear anything, please keep the radio going. You got to hear this shit. Because this is the kind of shit that I was on a couch and going, what? It got my black ass off the couch, and I was watching TV. You got to hear this shit. And I'm going to play it now. I'm not going to even go into a break. I'm so excited. I got to play this motherfucker. Where does it go? But you got to hear it. I'm going to try to play it. Wait a minute. Hold on. Oh, fuck.
I have to build it up. In the blog talk, right? They have to talk to control this. I know.
Oh, shit. Here it is right here. Listen to this fucking shit. That's what Mark Gates ends with Trump. Check it out. Rachel?
The Rachel Maddow Show.
Give it to him, Rachel. Lay it down. Give him some knowledge.
Tonight we are going to have the latest for you on the trial of the Minneapolis police officer charged with murdering George Floyd. We are going to be looking at that story tonight in detail, in part because some of the witness testimony today was so dramatic and so charged. We'll also be looking ahead tonight to tomorrow midday when President Biden is due to announce the next big thing he is planning on doing with Congress after the COVID relief bill, a huge infrastructure effort, bigger than anything our country has been able to do in generations. If you just look around, you know that it is really overdue. We're very overdue for infrastructure investment in this country. We are expecting President Biden's plan to be really ambitious. We're looking ahead again tonight to that big speech, that big rollout by the president tomorrow. Also tonight, we're keeping an eye on the COVID news as the Biden administration today announced that as of today, we have crossed an important threshold. As of today, a majority of U.S. seniors have been vaccinated. We have had hit 50% of all Americans age 65 and up have been vaccinated. Just a remarkable threshold. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky today meeting with governors from around the country, asking them to please slow down or stop reopening plans in the states for the next few weeks, because the vaccination rollout really only needs a few more weeks at this pace to get us finally a mathematical advantage against the virus for the first time, if we can just avoid another huge surge in transmission in the next few weeks. Dr. Walensky making that case directly to the nation's governors today. Of course, we're also still watching and waiting for whether OSHA in the Biden administration, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, may issue a rule that requires masks in workplaces nationwide, regardless of what states have what rules. An OSHA rule like that for mask use in workplaces, an enforceable rule, that would certainly help with what the CDC director is asking for from the states. But I got to tell you, this is turning into a bit of a mystery. OSHA was told the first week of the Biden administration that they needed to study this matter and report back on what they were going to do about it by March 15th. We are now 2 weeks past the deadline by which President Biden told OSHA they needed to have that mask rule ready to go if they were going to do it. We still haven't seen hide nor hair of it. It would be a very big deal, especially as the CDC and the president himself start pushing hard to try to stop these opening up, stop these various efforts to open up in various states just for the next few weeks. until the now going gangbusters vaccination effort can get ahead mathematically of where the epidemic is. So those are all things that we are watching tonight. We're also going to have new updates for you tonight on the new legal challenges to the draconian anti-voting bill that was just passed last week in the state of Georgia, as well as a fairly lurid update on the far-right big money effort to try to stop Democrats in Washington from passing voting rights protections, which would block the worst of what Georgia is trying to do, as well as what Republicans are trying to do in other red states around the country. So, as I said, there's a lot going on, lots to keep an eye on. We've got a lot to get to in the show tonight. But if you had asked me, even 2 hours ago, if we'd be having to talk about this next story tonight at all, I would have looked at you like you were cuckoo. I mean, sometimes we think the news is going to go one way, and then doop, the news gods throw you a weird late curveball, and you must adapt. That's what happened tonight. That's what just happened tonight, thanks to a front-page, bizarre breaking news story in the New York Times. Let's start where I think the story starts. I will stand corrected if it starts somewhere deeper and weirder than this, but for now, as far as we understand it, the story starts in Seminole County, Florida. So Seminole County, Central Florida, Orlando metro area, northeast from there out towards the Space Coast. For reasons unknown to man, in Seminole County in the 2016 election, Seminole County voters, in their infinite wisdom, decided that they would replace their county tax collector with this young man, 31 years old at the time he was elected, no prior record of public service. And we now know from audits and investigations that he really hit the ground running as soon as he won that office in 2016 and was sworn in 2017. One little glimpse of how this is going. This guy, as I said, young man, first time in public service, he's 31 years old and he was elected. He had just been married a couple of months before he was elected. He was married in mid-2016. After he won the election in November 2016 and got sworn in early 2017, he apparently hired and started to pay with public funds six different people who had been part of his wedding party the previous year. I'm not sure that's how you're supposed to staff up the tax collector's office. An Orlando Sentinel investigation found that he issued $1.9 million in contracts from his office to people who were his own close friends and business partners. Again, this is the tax collector's office. A county audit later found that for some reason, within months of taking office, he also started spending public money for that office on guns and ammunition and body armor and drones. The tax collector's office in Seminole County, Florida needs drones? Okay. Also, by June 2017, so he's still only in office a few months, he proclaimed that he and his employees in the county tax collector's office would henceforth all be carrying guns. He wanted them to wear their guns at work to go along with their tax collector's office badges. This is like the office that collects license fees and stuff. This is not like some SWAT team agency with frontline Wyatt Earps out there defending the streets. But the new guy elected to that office after hiring all his groomsmen to come in and run the place, buys all these guns and body armor and ammo and drones, tells everybody in the office they all need to wear guns at work to go along with their badges. Why did he want that? I don't know for sure, but within a few short months, he personally had pulled over a woman driving who he decided might have been speeding. Now, did he have a speed gun? I wouldn't put it past him. I don't know. But he decided she was speeding. He pulled her over. He flashed his badge, which, if you look closely in the fine print, was a badge that identified him as a guy who worked in the county tax collector's office. But still, if it's dark enough and you throw the right kind of weight around and you squint, it does kind of look like a sheriff's badge. Wonder what the drone might have told him about whether she really had been speeding. But it gets better. There's also the part where, while working full-time as the elected tax collector for that county, he set up a for-profit business inside the tax collector's office to do blockchain something something. What was the company actually going to do? It does not matter. He set up his own private for-profit company running it from inside the county tax collector's office. And in setting up that private for-profit company, he decided he needed $65,000 in brand new computer servers to run his new private company. And then he billed the county for those computer servers. And just to put some icing on this particular part of the cake, the audit in the county later found that he was such a genius at this stuff that when he installed those servers that he billed to the taxpayers, when he installed those servers for the private company he was going to run out of the tax collector's office, he installed them wrong and thereby set the office on fire. Ta-da! So, Seminole County, Florida, congratulations on your excellent choice for a new public official in the 2016 elections. Along the way, the Orlando Sentinel reported on his frequent anti-Muslim social media posts and his posts posing with far-right white nationalist types. He ended up posting things online about his friendship with President Trump's longtime political advisor and convicted felon, Roger Stone, who you see on the left side of your screen there, as well as the Trumpiest of all Trumpy Republican congressmen. You see in the center there, Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. But where things get rough for the Seminole County tax collector is June of last year. Federal agents come to his house to arrest him for, among other things, allegedly stalking a local man who was going to run against him for county tax collector. Yeah, how dare anyone run against him for tax collector when our hero was doing such a great job in that office? Have you seen the way they wear their guns now? To try to derail his potential opponent's campaign, the tax collector guy, according to prosecutors, arranged for a false rape accusation to be made against the man, which was then sent to the school at which the guy worked. The same allegation was then hyped and circulated by a network of fake identity social media bots and accounts apparently controlled by a local guy from the Proud Boys and associated with Roger Stone. Prosecutors say the tax collector guy also created a fake Twitter account in the name of the guy who was running against him, and then he falsely posted things on that Twitter account in which he was claiming to be the guy running against him and also claiming to be a proud segregationist and a white supremacist. But it was all fake. It was the tax collector guy who set up this Twitter account. It was a hit job, all set up by our hero, the arm-to-the-teeth, fire-setting, wedding party-hiring tax collector of Seminole County. So federal agents show up at his house last summer to arrest him on these stalking charges. And things get worse from there, because what do they find when they come to arrest him at his house? I will read it to you directly from the Orlando Sentinel at the time. Quote, the day he was indicted for stalking a political rival, Joel Greenberg had several stolen IDs in his work vehicle, a pair of fake IDs in his wallet, and materials for making more in his office. Evidence he was regularly abusing his position to steal unwitting constituents' identities, according to federal authorities. Inside the tax collector's work vehicle, agents found his backpack, which held three licenses from Canada, Virginia, and Florida, belonging to Seminole County residents who had recently obtained new Florida licenses. Employees of the tax collector's office told agents they'd seen Greenberg taking surrendered licenses from the agency's shred basket prior to their destruction. That's from an Orlando Sentinel story from last summer titled, Ex-Seminole Tax Collector Joel Greenberg was stealing customer IDs until his last day in office, feds say. They say he's the ex-Seminole County tax collector there because he did resign his post the day after police showed up to arrest him. But, I mean, the fake ID stuff is nuts, right? I mean, in Seminole County, Florida, you have to go to the tax collector's office. If you move there and you want to get a new local ID, when they get you your new local ID, you have to handle for your own ID. Federal prosecutors say the elected tax collector was stealing all the old licenses out of the to-be-shredded bin and then using them to make tons of fake IDs, apparently mostly for himself. So he would change the IDs so that they doctor them, so according to prosecutors, so they'd have his own picture on them, so he could flash this ID and it would look like him, but the name and information on the rest of the ID was from the people from whom he'd stolen their old licenses at his office. And it wasn't just like he did it once. According to prosecutors, he had a bunch of these IDs in his car, in his backpack, inducted into his wallet while they were arresting him. What did he need them all for? Why do you need a whole bunch of fake identities? And why was he also, according to prosecutors, trying to figure out how to falsify concealed firearms permits as well? Do you have any idea how many things could go wrong all at once if you just elected the wrong guy, tax collector of all things? Who knew what mischief could be made out of a single job like that? But that Orlando Sentinel headline about him stealing people's IDs, allegedly, through his last day in office, that ran in the Orlando Sentinel in July. By the following month, by August, federal officials had gone through the computers and electronic devices that they had seized from him during that arrest. And what they found, according to prosecutors, on those electronic devices and computers would yield even darker headlines by the following month, plus a superseding federal indictment for him. By August of last year, this was the headline in the Orlando Sentinel. Former Seminole tax collector Joel Greenberg facing sex trafficking charges? Quote, Joel Greenberg is facing sex trafficking charges related to a girl between the ages of 14 and 17 and is also accused of illegally using a state database to look up information about the girl and other people with whom he was engaged in, quote, sugar daddy relationships, according to an indictment filed Friday by the U.S. Attorney's Office. Quote, the former Seminole County tax collector used his access as an elected official to a state database to look up information about the minor victim. The database in question is the Florida Driver and Vehicle Information Database. He allegedly looked up information about the girl in that database, including her photo and her driver ID number. He also, according to the indictment, used the database to look up other people with whom he was, quote, engaged in sugar daddy relationships. That's the phrase that's used in the indictment. The Orlando Sentinel helpfully points out, quote, a sugar daddy is a term that refers to a wealthy man who dates a younger woman and gives her gifts in exchange for companionship or sex. Again, the alleged victim here is a teenage girl. Per the Orlando Sentinel, quote, Greenberg used the state database for prohibited purposes, including to produce a false identification document and to facilitate his efforts to engage in commercial sex acts. So there's this sort of reign of terror at this obscure office in Florida by this guy who is linked to the kind of highest levels of Donald Trump circles in Florida. And it ends in this very, very dark place. I mean, it starts off weird and gets weird and dark in some ways, but then it ends up in this terrible place, right? Charges of sex trafficking of a child. Now, the tax collector guy did quit his job after he was arrested. He has pled not guilty to all of the 14 federal charges he's now facing, including the sex trafficking of a child charges. He was out on bail after he was charged last summer, but last month, the judge overseeing his case jailed him for violating the terms of his bail. So he is now in jail, and he is scheduled to go on trial in Florida in June. So, I know, you know, happy Tuesday, this exists, I'm sorry. But now, tonight, on the front page of the New York Times, we get the national kick in the teeth that comes with this story. This is the headline tonight on the front page of the Times, quote, Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz is said to be investigated over possible sexual relationship with girl, age 17. Quote, Representative Matt Gaetz, Republican of Florida and a close ally of former President Donald J. Trump, is being investigated by the U.S. Justice Department over whether he had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old and paid for her to travel with him, according to three people briefed on the matter. Investigators are examining whether Congressman Gaetz violated federal sex trafficking laws. A variety of federal statutes make it illegal to induce someone under the age of 18 to travel over state lines to engage in sex in exchange for money or something of value. The U.S. Justice Department regularly prosecutes such cases, and offenders often receive severe sentences. It was not clear how Congressman Gaetz met the girl, believed to be 17 at the time of encounters about 2 years ago that investigators are scrutinizing. The investigation was opened in the final months of the Trump administration under Attorney General William Barr.
And that goes into our next story. Let's see. 111, you're live on the air. We have like four 111s in the studio. This is the last time I'm going to 111. And if they don't answer, that's it. They will never be on the air again. So this is the last shot. 111, you're live on the air.
Asshole. Asshole.
I didn't hear you.
Sounds like a troll.
It is. It is. Dumb shit said what? It is. anyway.
You've got some crazy fans too, bro. It's a good thing. Not all fans can be sane, you know. You hit the big time.
I should make everybody take a mental illness test to come in the studio. And if you're mentally ill, you qualify. Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our celebrity in here. We have our own Stan Lee. Stan, the man, is in the studio today. Good morning, my brother. Stan Lee's here. Hotel
good,
is here. King
good
is
morning,
here.
My friend. Well, what does it mean? What, I have to pass a test now to go to your studio now? I have to pass some mental test, COVID test?
Oh, we got
Stanley, here's the test. You answer those questions. If you don't answer properly, you don't go to the show. Cole, of course, Cole would fail the test completely. You wouldn't even give him the test. No, you're family. No, I'm not even
and you know
Hammond's
test will have some vulgarity in it about the female anatomy, so I'll fail.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you lick?
Stanley.
Yeah, if we put female,
well, you know,
if we put the
Stanley,
female
you know,
the thing that he says, I fail too.
Yeah.
I'm a gentleman.
You know,
I'm a gentleman.
Yes, you are.
I'm not like
yes,
Brian.
You are. Not like me. I'm a Neanderthal. I see woman, I think breakfast. Gonna eat. I have, you got, you know, Kings in the studio and good great Hotep in the studio and the Kings of Kings, and we got our Stan the Man in the studio.
Good
and
morning,
we got some...
King. Good morning, Greg Hotep. Good morning,
everybody. Hey,
well, good afternoon. I don't know, whatever.
We got
hey,
crazies
morning,
in the studio. We almost have a full studio full of crazies. How you like that? Imagine that corruption, man. I mean, it gets into I'm corrupt, and all of a sudden I go to sex trafficking, and you know something screwy about it. If you've been following this Matt Gaetz story, man, something strange is going on here. I don't know what it is, but it's loony shit. This is beyond crazy shit. If you guys don't know who Matt Gaetz is, this is a guy who has his head up Trump's ass. He looks like a cartoon. You can Google Matt, I'm sorry, M-A-T-T, Gaetz, G-A-T-Z, whatever. Google him. You'll see who he is. G-A-E-T-Z.
E-T-Z.
G-A-E-T-Z. You'll know who he is once you see his picture. So apparently what's happening is that he got in front of the story. He's claiming that he's being extorted. He's claiming that him and his family is being extorted. So his father was wearing a wire, and it claims that this guy is trying to extort him. Now, I'm getting confusing stories that the guy who is trying to blackmail him is dead, and he's no longer an official. He's been retired for 20 years. So,
No. He's not dead. He used to be a prosecutor. He's not a prosecutor anymore. He's not dead. He's still alive.
Okay.
But he's not a prosecutor anymore. He's not a federal
prosecutor.
And
who's supposed
anymore.
To be dead is a guy from the military that disappeared about 14 years ago, and somehow Matt Gaetz is involved. It's crazy. It is crazy.
The guy in Iraq, that's
another story. If we're talking about that little 17-year-old girl that he suddenly did something or something, that's the story. That, and Matt said, I never did something. And the people, I guess the lawyer or whatever, the prosecutor was trying to get him $25 million, and he has proof of this. So,
well,
right.
It's tied to the person that disappeared because the person that went to Matt said, if we can get the money, we can use the money to get a guy that we thought was dead, but a military guy, out, and then we'll get the president to give you some kind of reprieve, something like that. It's a crazy story.
Well, wait, Hotep. Not just any president. They promised him a pardon by Joe Biden, not Trump. They said he's saying that we can get Joe Biden give you a pardon. That's how bizarre it is. So this guy, Mark Gaetz, goes on Fox News. So he goes to Tucker. and I rarely play a Fox News clip, but you got to, even Tucker going, because Mac gets asked him. He goes, well, you know the girls on West. I mean, remember at dinner, and Tucker goes, I don't remember that. It is just bizarre. Here's the interview. Even Tucker says, Foo, keep me out of this. And here's the interview. And Tucker is just really going, this is bizarre, this is strange. Even he said it after the interview, that was so strange. And so Matt Gaetz goes on Fox, he goes on Newsmax, he goes on AON, whatever, American News, whatever. So he's going to these conservative news channels, and each time the story changes. So this is his interview with Tucker Carlson on Fox News. Even he thinks it's bizarre. Here you go. Take it away, Tucker.
This afternoon, the New York Times ran a story saying that Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz is under federal investigation for playing some role in sex trafficking and potentially having a relationship with a 17-year-old girl. There are very few details in major news outlets tonight about this story. We have no background on it at all and not even any very informed questions. Instead, we've invited Congressman Gaetz on the show to respond to these stories and give us his view of them. Congressman, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate it. So this is obviously a serious allegation. Tell us what the truth is from your perspective.
It is a horrible allegation, and it is a lie. The New York Times is running a story that I have traveled with a 17-year-old woman, and that is verifiably false. People can look at my travel records and see that that is not the case. What is happening is an extortion of me and my family involving a former Department of Justice official. On March 16th, my father got a text message demanding a meeting wherein a person demanded $25 million in exchange for making horrible sex trafficking allegations against me go away. Our family was so troubled by that, we went to the local FBI. And the FBI and the Department of Justice were so concerned about this attempted extortion of a member of Congress that they asked my dad to wear a wire, which he did with the former Department of Justice official. Tonight, I am demanding that the Department of Justice and the FBI release the audio recordings that were made under their supervision and at their direction, which will prove my innocence and that will show that these allegations aren't true. They're merely intended to try to bleed my family out of money. And this former Department of Justice official tomorrow was supposed to be contacted by my father so that specific instructions could be given regarding the wiring of $4.5 million as a down payment on this bribe. I don't think it's a coincidence that tonight, somehow, the New York Times is leaking this information, smearing me, and ruining the investigation that would likely result in one of the former colleagues of the current DOJ being brought to justice for trying to extort me and my family.
So a couple of obvious questions that come to mind, and again, just to restate, this just happened, don't have any other information beyond what we've already said and you have said. Who is this Department of Justice former employee who's trying to extort the money from you, you say?
His name is David McGee. He was a top official in the leadership in the Northern District of Florida as a prosecutor. He currently works at the Beggs and Lane Law Firm. As a matter of fact, one of the recordings that was made at the FBI and Department of Justice request occurred at that law firm, and the money that was supposed to be paid today that would have shown even more evidence of David McGee's work in this extortion scheme, that was foiled by the New York Times story, and I believe that's why this horrible information and these terrible allegations have been used this evening.
So and I'll get to the investigation in a sec, but you're saying that David McGee was motivated by greed. He was trying to extort money from your family. That's his motivation, you're saying.
I know that there was a demand for money in exchange for a commitment that he could make this investigation go away along with his co-conspirators. They even claimed to have specific connections inside the Biden White House. Now, I don't know if that's true. They were promising that Joe Biden would pardon me. Obviously, I don't need a pardon. I'm not seeking a pardon. I've not done anything improper or wrong. But what I am troubled by is the real motivation for all of this. You know, just tonight, Ted Lieu, a Democrat, is calling on me to be removed from the House Judiciary Committee. And I believe we are in an era of our politics now, Tucker, where people are smeared to try to take them out of the conversation. I'm not the only person on screen right now who's been falsely accused of a terrible sex act. You were accused of something that you did not do, and so you know what this feels like. You know the pain it can bring to your family, and you know how it just puts people on defense when you're accused of something so salacious and awful. But it did not happen. It is not true. And the fact that it is the basis of this attempt to extort my family tells a lot. And if the FBI and Department of Justice will release the tapes that they are in possession of, the American people will see what is really going on.
You just referred to a mentally ill viewer who accused me of a sex crime 20 years ago. And it was not true. I never met the person. But I do agree with you that being accused falsely is one of the worst things that can happen. And you do see it a lot. Let's go back to the investigation. You say that it was or is underway. There was an investigation. What is the basis of that investigation? What is the allegation? Is that really not very clear from these news stories?
Yeah, again, I only know what I've read in the New York Times. I can say that actually you and I went to dinner about 2 years ago. Your wife was there, and I brought a friend of mine. You'll remember her. And she was actually threatened by the FBI, told that if she wouldn't cop to the fact that somehow I was involved in some pay-for-play scheme, that she could face trouble. And so I do believe that there are people at the Department of Justice who are trying to smear me, providing for flights and hotel rooms for people that you're dating who are of legal age is not a crime. And I'm just troubled that the lack of any sort of legitimate investigation into me would then convert into this extortion attempt.
I don't remember the woman you're speaking of or the context at all, honestly. But I would like to know who. So they're saying there is a 17-year-old girl who you had a relationship with. Is that true? And who are they? Who is this girl? What are they talking about in the New York Times?
The person doesn't exist. I have not had a relationship with a 17-year-old. That is totally false. The allegation, as I read it in the New York Times, is that I've traveled with some 17-year-old in some relationship. That is false, and records will bear that out to be false.
How long has this investigation been going on, do you know?
I don't know.
When were you first informed of it?
I really saw this as a deeply troubling challenge for my family on March 16th when people were, talking about a minor and that there were pictures of me with child prostitutes. That's obviously false. There will be no such pictures because no such thing happened. But really on March 16th was when this got going from the extortion standpoint.
So what happens next? I mean, you can say there is this investigation, I guess a criminal investigation. I'm not quite sure where the sex trafficking part comes in. For the fifth time, I don't really understand this story very well. But where does it go from here? I mean, you've made an allegation against someone by name on the air and accused him of trying to extort millions of dollars from your family. What happens tomorrow?
Well, what was supposed to happen was the transfer of this money that would have implicated the former colleague of these current DOJ officials. But that's obviously not going to happen tomorrow because the New York Times story was leaked in order to quell that investigative effort. So here's what needs to happen next. The FBI and the Department of Justice must release the tapes that are in their possession that were done at their direction. Those tapes will show that I am innocent and that the whole concept of sex charges against me was really just a way to try to bleed my family out of money and probably smear my name because I am a well-known, outspoken conservative, and I guess that's out of style in a lot of parts of the country right now.
Matt Gaetz, I appreciate you coming on tonight.
So thanks for giving me the chance to tell the truth. I appreciate it.
It's a more interesting and complicated story than I knew from reading about it. Thank you very much. Matt Gaetz's interview, that was one of the weirdest interviews I've ever conducted. That story just appeared in the news a couple of hours ago. And on the certainty that there's always more than you read in the newspaper, we immediately called Matt Gaetz and asked him to come on and tell us more, which, as you saw, he did. I don't think that clarified much, but it certainly showed this is a deeply interesting story, and we'll be following it. Don't quite understand it, but we'll bring you more when we find out.
Oh, man. And that's coming from Tucker. You know what I think is happening?
Yeah,
he
just has to take out the tape of the FBI and show it to everybody that it's true, and that's it. Then show
right.
that somebody's getting $25 million, and then that's it. He says he has a tape, and the FBI knows it, and that's what he wants to come out, and the FBI should come out with the information that we did an investigation. I deplore the media. I don't understand it. You see what it is, the media? The media used to have a standard that you needed to have at least two or three people who collaborate with your story. It wasn't just one person. I don't understand what the media is doing. If it's true that he is innocent, then he should sue the New York Post for what they did. Because that's the, like you said, that's the reputation of a Congress person, of a politician.
Right.
And your reputation is something that you don't damn with it. I don't understand the media. They have no standard anymore.
Well, that was Fox News. That was Fox News. Even Tucker says that's a weirder story. Here's where I think it's going on here. And this is just my opinion because I have to look through this. I have this special mind. Wait a minute. We're going to be interrupted again. Hold on. 111, you're live on the air. We got three of them. 111, you're live on the air. You better speak now or else I'm going to X you out of here. It's the last shot.
Asshole.
Dipshit says what?
They have nothing better to say.
They don't have nothing better. They called in three
times. That's
their
vocabulary.
That's it. Must be a Trump supporter. Sorry, Stanley. I got it.
Oh, an asshole.
Asshole. Oh, yeah. I got to quit giving out the number to the show. Okay.
No, Brian. Don't put the Trump supporter in that shit. We're not that type of person. Even us, we're smarter than that. No. As a Trump supporter, I do not represent that person. No. That's a stupid American. That is nothing a Trump supporter. No. He's not in our team.
So, Stan, you're a Trump supporter. That's why you're defending the man that is in trouble, I guess.
Wow.
No, I'm defending the man he's in trouble because if it's proven that he has the tape that shows that he got, that somebody wanted to go against him for the money and everything, then the media is not doing their job. I just want the proof because that's what he said. And if it's proven that he did do something with a 17-year-old, then he should be condemned. That's it. I'm not favoring him and everything. But if he has that proof, that basically shows that the FBI did an investigation and have tape that somebody's trying to get $25 million out of him, then he's innocent, And it's the FBI's duty to take out that tape or whatever.
I don't think the FBI operates like that. We can't just tell the FBI disclose tapes just because some guy that may be guilty says, you know what, show the tapes. That isn't how the intelligence community tends to work, unless, of course, they're spreading propaganda and then they release tapes. It's deeper than this. We've got Fox News. We've got Tucker, who is in a scandal with Sean Hannity for molesting a woman, sexual harassment. In the same case, a former Fox employee said she was harassed and raped by news anchor Ed Henry, who was fired on July 1st of last year. This issue is a big thing. And there are different groups at work. There's the Democratic side. There's the Republican side. There's the secret society side that is molesting children, right? And they're trying to all handle this in a way that we, the public, end up fighting as opposed to them being held accountable.
True.
I have no problem to hold them accountable if they did something wrong. If it's proven that they did something wrong, then you should have the most severe case there is, because I have no pity for people who are pedophiles or did something with a younger person and everything. But if it's proven that it's innocent, then I have a problem with the media because it's too easy. And I have a problem that it's too easy for women just to come 20 years, 15 years, or whatever years, suddenly I got sexually raped or sexually this. I have a problem with that. That is too much power. That is too much women coming 20
no,
years.
No, it's not women with the power. It's us men that have the physical ability to beat them down if we're abusers. It's us men that run much of the world, and women tend to be the ones that end up getting the beatdowns from us. Instead of saying what you said, what we should be saying is let's make it an environment of work where people don't truly harass, where they're not going to be raped, and where if they have an issue, they have a person they can go to without retribution to file the complaint, and it is investigated, and let the media do their job. One group of media's job is to remain, you know, unbiased. The other group is to share the shit that they hear. If you hear something, you say it. Wendy Williams, et cetera. We can't lambast the entire media just because one guy who's probably down with a pedophile ring gets on media and asks for our forgiveness. Where was his empathy when George Floyd situation? Where's his empathy now? I say, fuck him. Let him burn.
Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah, but,
the magnificent Melissa.
It's a different thing. Like I said.
The magnificent Melissa's in the studio.
I've been
Melissa.
Listening, everybody. What is going on?
Hey.
Wow.
Hello, beautiful.
Wow. Hey, Stanley.
Hello.
Hey, Hotep.
Hello.
I haven't
you
talked
got
to you for a while.
Hotep, and you got the
hey,
King is in the studio, Melissa.
Hey, King.
And, you, of course, you got the
Who
Stan Lee.
Who's been calling
back.
You?
I don't know. Let's go right back to it. Mystery caller number 111, you got your last shot. Who are you? Last chance.
Mm-hmm. Here it comes.
All right.
See? You
oh,
heard
come
that?
On.
Yeah.
Oh,
there you go, Melissa.
You know what? I bet I know who that is. Yeah. Huh. Wow.
You think
really?
It's
Bill?
That's Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
No, that's
oh,
maybe Cole.
One of Stan's, one of Stan's favorite people.
Stanley,
yeah.
How do you support somebody who lost the presidency? It's like over. So why do you guys still say you support him?
Well, I don't agree with the direction that Biden is bringing to this country and everything. I don't support it in everything. He lost the election doesn't mean that he is the most popular person in the Republican Party for now. Dude,
Stan,
we don't have
reality
any much
check,
leader.
The election is over.
Yeah,
the question
I know,
is very
right?
valid. Yeah, how do you question
I have
a person
time
that has
wrapping
lost.
My head around this.
Yeah.
I
That's
do.
That's crazy.
Yeah, there's nobody talking about Trump right now. We're not talking about Trump and everything. He's the ex-president. He lost the election. Biden is the new president. I don't agree with his direction. I don't think he is going to be the president for long. I think it's going to be the chosen one that's going to take his place. He's not fit to be president, especially when I saw the last press conference. So
he's not fit to be president, even though I don't agree with much of Biden's position. But Trump, who says grab him by the pussy and who is obviously a racist, is, in your book, a good guy.
Well, first of all, he opened. He's not a racist. He was proven by many times. He's the first black. He's the first person before he was president to hire the most black people in the 1970 to 1980. And to be a racist and everything,
yeah, clean
if you go
toilet,
to the definition,
family.
No, the definition of a racist is somebody that thinks that somebody that thinks that he's above you because of the color of your skin. Trump never said that. He has many black friends and everything. And if we're going to go there, he's not racist and everything. I don't agree. And when it comes to grab the pussy, what he said was a private conversation with another person, which I think privacy is something that we should respect. It wasn't like something that he said. Levy has the right to say what he wants to say. And by the way, what he said is completely true. I'm sorry, when you're rich and everything, and you have Kobe Bryant is a perfect example, he had no problem having women and everything. When you're a popular person and everything, women will basically jump on you, and their groupies will jump on you. So let's not act like groupie doesn't exist. That is
it's
true.
Great that
the women
you're
are
using
all acting
nothing
like
but
groupie
logical
doesn't
fallacies
exist. On,
to defend him. No one said groupies don't exist. What we're saying is a male making statements like grab him by the pussy isn't talking about groupies. It's talking about disrespect for your daughters, your wives, your grandmother.
No, he's not talking
it's
about
great
disrespect
that,
about
I know
your
you,
daughters.
I know you're
he's
getting
about the two
upset
things.
By
sorry.
The defense
wealthy,
that's showing
you
true colors.
That
but
you're
the problem,
able to
hold
do
on, I know you,
that
you,
you're
you
wealthy,
people
I,
like to talk over people, but can you stop and pull the panties up? You are wrong. You're supporting
no.
a racist. You're
no.
supporting a sexist, but this is what people like you do. We always had people on the plantation in the house. Thank you for letting us know that you're in the house. The rest of us choose not to be in the house with you.
First of all, Opet, you still didn't define the word racist. Racist means that he thinks he's above you because of the color of your skin. You have never proven that with Trump. Like I told you,
you never
it's been
asked
proven
me to
by many
it.
People.
You retroactively
well, okay,
applying
okay,
a question
let me ask
to me
you.
That
what
you never
is the
did.
Let me ask you. You made a point. Let me ask you. What is the definition of racist, and what is your proof that he is racist?
Racist, a person that holds that because of his or her racial identity and culture, he is superior or she to another to another individual of another so-called race. We're all actually Homo sapiens, so the whole issue of racism is preposterous because we're all family. Next question.
Yeah, but okay, if we're going to that definition, Trump never proved that. But so I'm going to your definition.
Trump
that's
never
exactly
proved
what I said.
It. We proved it. He wouldn't prove that he's racist.
He never said it. So how can you say that he's racist when you just said the definition is somebody by his culture or by his color thinking that he's above you because of the color of your skin? That's exactly, I agree 100% what you said, Opet. He never did that, Opet. He never did.
He did that in being president. And his the way he treated black folks that spoke out and that were at events, the way he supported the white supremacists when the guy rode the car in and killed people, much of his language shows he's racist. Now, a person like you wants the evidence as
it
all done. You wanted to say I am
racist.
Obviously, it
does prove. That is not true.
But, of course, the House Negroes, it doesn't prove, so us having the discussion will get nowhere because I'm Malcolm.
Okay,
and
that is not
Negro.
True. Okay,
find
that is
someone
not
else.
What you just said.
You're
right.
Talking bullshit.
Can I jump in here?
Yes,
I'm
going to
stop.
Open, that
violent.
Is not proof what you said.
Let
me just finish that point, Brian. It does
not
prove what you said. I'm going to your definition. Your definition is the same as me. You said it's somebody that believes because of the color of his skin he's above somebody. The ex-president never did that. He never came to people and everything. He hired some black people, first of all. He had some black friends, second of all. And I give you an example of many people that he hired.
I'm done with Stan. You talk to him if you want, but I'm done with an idiot.
Well, let me just clear something up. Just one second. Now, I myself been in position where I was a pussy grabber. In fact, I got the NAACP award, the National Advancement of Copping Pussy. It is true. Yeah. It is true that there are women out. It is true that there's women out there who are gold diggers. And that part is true. Now, what Hotev is talking about, and I understand it, and it's my pet peeve, too, because we just got a story on Cuomo, that this woman recently said that Cuomo forced her to sing Danny Boy. Exactly. So she claimed sexual harassment. She was uncomfortable. And what Cuomo did was says he started singing Danny Boy and encouraged her to sing with him. And she says, I felt really uncomfortable. She claimed harassment in a lawsuit. So there's women like that, you know, and I think Danny is kind of tipping on it. But I go on with Hotep. There are many women, the majority of women out there. And it's right. We do sexify them. You know, I went to the church. I have sexified many a women. I still think they're bakery goods, but I have learned to respect them. Well, I'm trying, but that's how I'm raised. I'm trying, you know what I mean? I'm no angel. I look at a nice piece of ass. Guess what? It's buffet time. I haven't trained my mind that says, you know, look at her ears and look at her eyes. No, I haven't reached that level. I haven't. But I understand what Hotep says, and you got to remember, Hotep has some girls. I mean, and King has some girls, and the parent today and how men treat women. Stanley, I think you would have to agree that there's a lot of bastards out there, including Trump, who just think women are just a piece of ass. You would have to agree with that. And there are men in these positions.
I would agree with him. Maybe I agree with that part that he maybe does believe that a lot of women are the sexual. I have no problem with that. He's saying things that is true. A lot of guys do believe that and everything. Not all guys. There's some guys who don't believe that.
The guys of power and these poor women.
But Brian, you could think about that, but that doesn't go with your actions. Thinking about that the woman is a piece of ass and doing something, raping her, that's a different thing. You can think whatever you want. until you don't do the action that is doing things. Now, I can think that beautiful is a, beautiful is whatever and everything until I don't touch her and don't rape her and don't do the act that I'm thinking.
Yes.
See, but you know, Stanley, hello, Ali. Hello, Ali. Ladies and gentlemen, our other morning crew.
Hello, Ali.
But Stanley, that's the problem of old school. We used to go all the way to the lower denomination saying, okay, if it's not rape, then it's cool. But there's a lot of things happen before that, making a woman feel uncomfortable, making her feel like if she doesn't do something, she loses her job. And then when she does speak out, we call her a whore. She wouldn't, well, you know, oh, look how she's dressed. Why, you know, she's dressed like she wants us to look at her. We do a lot of stuff to women before even gets that. We in the old school, we used to justify, well, we didn't rape you. We didn't touch you. What's your problem? And and we have to learn how to, there are
some women who are uncomfortable. So Brian, it's not because a woman's uncomfortable that necessarily means that you raped her or you did something. Also, I'm sorry.
Right.
A lot of people are going to be uncomfortable and everything. I don't agree with the attitude. If a woman decides to dress whatever she wants, that doesn't mean she's a hoe. I don't agree with that. It's not because she dressed up that way. It doesn't mean that it gives you the permission to jump on her and do something. No, you got to get the permission of a woman. Once a woman says no, it is your responsibility as a man to take to basically go home and not touch her. If you don't do that, you are raping the woman, and the woman has the right to go to court and sue your ass and put you in jail for the rest of your life because
there
you didn't
you
respect
go.
Her decision.
There
Emma,
you go.
The double standard that Trump supporters have, you'll hear them say something like, well, when did he say, he's a racist. He hates black people, right? But at the same time, he never came out and said, I rape women. I think women are sex objects. But yet they want to claim that, when he says grab him by the pussy, I don't agree with that. We call him a sexist. Mm. They agree. But when you say he's a racist, oh, no, he's not a racist. They want to think with a part of their toe, and they want to have intelligent conversations with adults and think we're all retarded, and we're not.
Oh, my God. Did you use that word?
I did. I did, Melissa.
Okay.
He used the word.
Saying that word, grab, saying that word grab by the you know what doesn't mean that basically you're raping some woman. I'm sorry. It doesn't. So if people are saying that just because saying that word means that thing that we have a really big problem in our society, it doesn't mean that he did the act. It doesn't mean in everything he did the act and everything. It's not because a guy says those things that means he did the act. That is, it has nothing to do with rape. It has nothing to do with sexual harassment at all.
Clearly, people will defend wrong even when it's wrong. So I thank him for going public with his defense
and acting like a child
in the middle of my talking.
Well, you know what? Well, going back to this story, and I think this is going to heat it up a little bit more. We only got 7 minutes. Here's my opinion why people are confused with the news story with Gates. He tried to be like Trump, and it's not working. And listen, hear me out. When Trump does shit, he says it out in the open. You know what I mean? Trump doesn't hide the shit. I think Trump's head is like, if I say I'm going to do it, then it's not a crime. Just kind of think about it. You know what I mean? Why not? We have missiles. Why can't we use them? You know? Why not go to Korea? We got love letters. Well, you know, Korea really wants to destroy us. They just launched missiles 6 months ago to try to. Well, we got love letters, you know. Hey, well, the country's killers. Well, we got killers, too. See, what Trump does is he says it out loud. And I think what Trump does, by saying it out loud, you're not a liar. You kind of go, okay, you know where he's coming from. And I think Gates is trying to do the Trump thing. When he jumped in, first of all, the DOJ and the FBI did not disclose any information whatsoever. Nobody accused him of nothing. There's no indictments about him. He's not even a target. He's just a subject of a conversation. The FBI is not even commenting on this. So what I think what Gates did was he tried to do a Trump, and he loves Trump. He tried to get ahead of the story, knowing that it might come out. And he tried to get ahead of this story, and he starts telling this extortion story and everything. But he's telling the story about extortion to divert your attention to the extortion part and not the 17-year-old girl part, because there's two investigations going on. So he'll come on Fox News and tell about this extortion thing, my dad's wearing a wire and everything. But he's kind of ignoring this 17-year-old story about he was with a 17-year-old, and he was on a plane, and he and he went to different, you know, state lines, which is a felony. So that's what I think he's doing, and that's why Tucker's saying, I'm confused. I mean, what is really going on here? And he's telling four different stories on every conservative news thing. So I think he's trying to get in front of the story, and he's trying to divert the story to the extortion part so you won't be thinking, I'm the victim, I'm here, I'm a victim. And by the way, the Trump administration's been making a lot of money on this. You know how much money Trump made by fundraising with the Capitol riots? I mean, millions. So the new thing with these Republicans is like, I'm a victim and I got to raise money for it. So they get it, and they raise a lot of money for being victims. So did Moscow Mitch. So that's what I think he's doing. I think he's coming in front of the story. He knows what's coming down the pike. He's going to get ahead of the story. He's going to divert it to the extortion part and not the 17-year-old part. That's what I think. Any thoughts? That's what I think is happening here. That's why
he hasn't brought any. You're correct. He's muddying the waters. He hasn't brought forward the evidence that the young lady would say, oh, he was just a friend. Notice, he shows no picture of her. He shows no letter from her. He doesn't call her on the phone and say, hey, listen, Shaniqua, remember when you were 17 and I paid for your airfare and paid for your hotel? They think you did something with me. He isn't doing that, but he's talking shit.
Right. Yeah.
He's saying that he said, Brian, that he never did something with a 17-year-old. That's
right.
What he said.
He
never did something. He never crossed the border with a 17-year-old.
He said he paid for the hotel.
Even Tucker Carlson asked him the question, do you remember which girl he's talking to? He said, I have no idea what girl are you talking about.
Exactly. Because he tried to get Tucker Carlson to say, oh, yeah, you're with a woman who was of age.
Because
he tried to set up Tucker. He was saying, you remember when we had dinner with your wife and I had the girl with me? But Tucker was supposed to say, yes, she was an adult woman at 34, whatever. But Tucker didn't say that.
He pulled out.
So Tucker didn't take the bait. Tucker says, I don't remember that. Because he's not going to get involved with this shit.
Tucker.
And here's another side bit. So Barr got all this information, Attorney Barr, on Matt Gaetz. This is like a year ago. So Matt Gaetz was, he RSVP'd to go to this party. And when Barr saw that he was invited, Barr said, hell no, I want nothing to do with this. Barr said this, and he bowed out. Barr said, I was so afraid that they might take a picture of me and him together. That's what Barr said. Now, Barr has this information. So, and then there was other information leaked out that he used to take these girls. That he was at sorority parties, and some of them were 17 and 16, and he flirted with the girls. There's shit that's going to come out. So what I think he did was come out in front, try to do the Trump thing. Let's go in. I'm going to give you a story about extortion, and that's kind of iffy because you'll hear it later. But let's talk about the extortion and not about my antics with these young girls. Remember what I always tell you, they know what's coming down the pike. The newspapers will contact these people maybe a week or 2 weeks in advance and say, we're running this story. Do you have a comment? They know the story's coming down. And I think that's what he did, making rounds to conservative TV or radio to divert the real thing that's coming down. That's my opinion. Anybody else? I mean, that's just my opinion.
And what it also is a threat to the young woman. Here's a powerful man whose father is a powerful politician. She's going to hear this stuff and think, oh, my, imagine if she smoked weed at some point, or imagine if her brother is in jail. This is very threatening to a person who was a victim. Even if you don't like the guy, right, we have to agree that this type of antic is crazy. Let me tell you all, I was approached by a guy, a powerful guy, who told me if I wanted to join a certain powerful society. He said, but you got to realize, brother, you're going to have to sacrifice a child. Now, this person also is into some crazy shit stuff, right? So I can tell you, it's a lot of shit that goes on, and people don't usually come out and talk about it, because when you do, you can get fucked up in business or killed. So this stuff is deep. It's a lot of shit. Sorry for taking the time.
Well, it is. A lot, but see, and we go with the Trump, and it has nothing to do with Trump. Stanley, I just read the story 2 minutes ago. The court just filed that all Trump made people do, when Trump made people sign the NDA, and don't get it confused with NWA, it's NDA. The court said that the NDAs are void. They mean nothing. There's people coming out now who are going after Trump. And Stanley, we got two cops, Capitol Police officers, are suing Trump, saying that he was the cause of the riots. It's just linking up. And then you got the woman who claims Trump raped her. Her NDA just went, and she says, I'm going to, and the court said, go ahead with the suit. And she's doing a defamation suit on Trump. He got so much shit coming down, Stanley. I don't know if
he
this
has,
guy's
he has no, Brian, he has no problem coming up. Nothing's going to happen to him. Trust me.
Okay.
No court is going to find Donald Trump accused. Nothing's going to happen to him. He's not going to prison. Nothing's going to happen to him.
I don't know, because you still got that New York DA, man.
New York.
And she's gunning
yep.
for him. She's gunning for him.
Yeah, she could guts for him. She could guts for him as much as she wants and everything. She's not going to put him in prison. Nothing's going to happen to him. I'm telling you.
I don't know.
Nothing's going to happen to him.
I said it in the beginning, and I say this to Hoteb and Melissa here, and even to you, Stanley and King. We have never put a former president in jail, and I don't know if the current president wants to have that on his legacy. See, here's
no,
where I'm thinking. Biden
dirt,
does
brother.
Not have the balls.
They all
what
have
are your
dirt,
thoughts?
Brother. They all have dirt. Democratic, Republican, they're full of shit. There's some corrupt
right.
scumbags, many of them in pedophile rings. They're on drugs. They're psychopaths. And if you got dirt on me, I'll spill the dirt on you. They're fucked up.
Damn. But you're right.
No, it's true, bro.
Nobody's.
And we defend
Nobody.
Them. Oh, I love Obama because this, that. Fuck Obama. Obama put more people, black people in jail than previous president. He was not good for black people. He just had swagger. They all pimps and hoes, prostitutes in suits that we vote for year after year and nothing improved. Fuck them. We got to live for ourselves, all of us.
I know, but I'm saying, but the but what Stanley said was had a lot of validity to it, because I don't know what every president worries about their museum and their legacy. That's what they're going for. Biden is weak on that with this kumbaya bullshit, and I want everybody to love each other. I don't think he would have the balls to put that on his legacy, that he was the one that indicted a former president of the United States of America. I don't think he would have the guts to do that. I think that he would go, if they got enough shit on Trump, they're going to make some kind of deal that it'll be a side deal like, okay, you cannot run for the president of the United States. If you promise not to run for the president of the United States, then these charges go away. It'll be something like that, because I don't think, and like Stanley is right, I don't think that he has the guts to put a former except, but you know what? I'm going to tell you, that's federal. But that woman in New York, man, she wants that dude there. She wants Trump. And federal and Biden has nothing to do with that. And I don't think Biden can pardon Trump. And here's another reason I think that story is false with Gaetz. This guy's Matt Gaetz is the most conservative man in the world. I mean, his head is so far up at Donald Trump that he's like a poo-poo puppet. He has shit all over his face. And somebody says that Joe Biden is going to pardon him. Come on, that made no sense at all. I mean, this guy was the one who stood up and wouldn't certify Biden, and he hates Biden, and he's saying this. Why would Biden even pardon him, saying that, hey, I can get you a pardon by Biden? See, this is where
because
it gets a
the
little
same
bit
club.
Bullshit. Yeah.
Bro, they hang out together. They're friends. What we see on TV is a facade. I've lived in some other nations.
Mm.
And the same two politicians that argue on TV go and play
right.
golf together. They have investments together. Some of their kids are married to each other. They went to the same fraternities. They went to the same universities. They come. It's wrestling. It's wrestling. I come out and I say, now when I slap you, you slap me, right? And then I'm going to say,
right.
ouch. And I'm going to say, bitch, you soft. And we fought. Politics is the game of wrestling. And we're the fans, the freaks.
Yeah, I know.
And not MMA, but worldwide wrestling. It's fake as fuck.
You and your rainbow wrestling. You come out with glitter. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, and you're right. Because Clinton, even though Trump was going after Hillary, him and Bill were still together playing golf, and their
yep.
what their daughters were best friends, and there is some validity that you said. I know. Oh boy, it's a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Wow.
With cocaine.
It's a hell of a drug.
I agree
man,
with what Bill Pett
oh,
said. I agree what he said. He's
yes,
saying the truth.
Yes.
I agree with him.
Unfortunately, it is the truth. I think nobody can deny that.
Hama, can I
tell
Stan something quickly because the show is about
sure,
to end? He agrees
sure,
with me on that. The difference
yeah,
between he and I is I don't hold any fucking preacher, president, politician to a standard that I can't critique them, right? So if they do
right,
fuckery, I say, look, you black, you look like me, you talk like me, yeah, 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 but you just did something fucked up. Sometimes
right,
we lose that, and then we lose the reality and the ability to be intelligent when people do fuckery. I think, Stan, if you just took the time and don't buy into the bullshit and realize these motherfuckers are psychopaths and sociopaths. They're playing us all, white against black, straight against gay, religious against atheist, and the rich are getting richer.
Yeah, I kind of agree. And I want you guys to hear this. I'm glad you're here. King, I need you to hear especially. You know, King's on a, you know, King's a player. A lot of us retired, but King's still going for the ring as the player of the year. And Stan, I want you to hear it too. And if you didn't hear it before, I got to play it again. And I say this on a religious thing. Man, when you break up with a woman, you have no idea what's going through her head. And we're on different planes, different planets. And I came across this on TikTok, and this is a woman. And listen very carefully because it woke me up. Listen to what she has to say. Here we go. Listen to this.
I miss you.
I mean, listen.
But I'm better off without you. I want you out of my life. But I never want to let you go.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
I love you, but I hate you. I miss you, but I'm better off without you. I want you out of my life, but I never want to let you go.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
That's some powerful shit for men to really understand women. I mean, if you really think about that, what do you think of that, Melissa? That's some powerful stuff, right? About how women just really feel about that. You hear that, Stanley? You hear that? Well, Hotep's there. He's down with that. And, but, see, I used to think we broke up, and then they call. Remember the old days where they call and hung up, and you didn't have the cell number or whatever? And you're saying, well, okay, maybe she wants to get back with me because you get those lonely times. And then all of a sudden, she doesn't want to get back with you. She hates you, but she doesn't want you to have a good time without her. And especially, she does not want to see you happy with somebody else. So if you believe that shit, this kumbaya millennial shit, like, oh, well, we broke up okay and everything's fine and she's happy for me. She says, no. She wants to kill your ass because she'll burn your car, toilet paper your house, and she'll probably come in there and put a plunger up your ass and ruin your whole rectum. I'm telling you, women, you got to be very careful with women, especially in the breakup. Before we go, there is one last news I want to go to.
Depends who breaks up also. If the woman breaking up with the guy, trust me, she doesn't care. But if the guy breaking up, oh, my God. Good
right.
Luck. But that's not always good. True. There are men that go back and kill everybody. If a woman breaks up with him, even though women,
absolutely.
You know, you see the story.
You're just a happy
yeah,
guy, aren't you?
Kill the cat,
yeah,
it's
true.
The rabbit,
yeah,
the chicken wing.
That's true too.
Well, here we go. We're going to transition to a story. Everybody knows Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
It doesn't matter how rich you are, or how famous you are, you're still human. They're talking about Chet. This is Tom Hanks' son. Chet is barred from owning a handgun after his ex-girlfriend accused him of abuse and said he threatened to kill her and himself. Not Forrest Gump's son. Life is a... Wow. So Chet Hanks, the son of Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, he is barred from possessing a handgun. It was a Texas judge issued the ban on January after granting Hanks' ex-girlfriend a protective order. Now, how, according to the affidavit, Hank first became hostile towards his girlfriend in 2020. Chester Hanks, the son of actor Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, and better known as Chet, was ordered by a Texas judge in January to cease contact with his ex-girlfriend and was barred from possessing a handgun. According to the file, Kiana Parker, Hanks' ex-girlfriend, the actor threatened to kill both her and him, told her in December that he was going to blow both their brains out and going to blow his brains out later. Hanks first became violent when Parker in October 2020 when Hanks, an actor, was in New Orleans filming the Showtime series Your Honor. Parker said in a document the two began dating in March. That must be some good pussy. It must be some good pussy. Because you don't commit crime with bad pussy. You're a dumb motherfucker if you commit crime. Hey, what are you in here for, life? Why? Oh, that was some bad pussy I ate. Didn't agree with me. My stomach still hurts. You got to do with some good-ass pussy.
Like Emma, what happens on the celebrity level is you get cut slack. I had a colleague that could have gone to jail for a long time. Someone called me and said, listen, Boom Boom is in jail right now. I met with someone, and the person got out. I'm given first-hand experience. I had a meeting I was going to. I was late. Some officers escorted me in their cars to my meeting through the traffic, right?
Wow.
Our system is structured so that people on high level get perks and breaks, don't go to jail, get escorts with, and I'm not even big time. I just happen to do a few things in life and get a bit of clout.
Right.
I'm small time. Imagine if I was on Puff Daddy's level or Trump.
Right.
So my position is no one should be above the law. Secret societies where these guys get together and have sex and molest children and kill your firstborn and all this shit, I think it's wrong, but they're the ones in positions of power, in the courthouse, in the presidencies. There's some corrupt motherfuckers, and a few people step out like, nah, that's not for me.
Sure. When you have the President of the United States hanging around with Epstein and partying with Epstein, you know what I'm trying to say? Okay, that's all I'm going to say before we go down. But going back to the, and you're right, you are absolutely right. Well, so this poor guy, his father is Tom Hanks. He's an actor. He can get any girl he wants to. He's a good-looking guy. I'm looking at the guy. Why? Over one woman. Why? Why would you do this? Why? And so since the two began dating in March, Hanks did not immediately return insider's comment on this. Wednesday, through a lawyer, Hanks denied Parker's claim to pay. And by the way, Johnny Depp's going through the same thing. No studio is going to hire Johnny Depp what he did with Amber Heard. He did crazy shit, cut herself and threatened to kill her. When Parker attempted to leave their hotel room, he grabbed her by the pussy. No, I'm only kidding. I'll read the right story. It's just going to get your attention. When Parker attempted to leave their hotel room, he grabbed her arm, threw a bottle at her, and dragged her from the door, according to the affidavit. The incident followed an earlier argument about whether the couple would go out for dinner or order food to the hotel room. Well, that's enough reason to grab her by the arm and throw a bottle at her. I mean, there's less reasons. Okay, I'm with him there. He didn't do anything wrong. It's like, come on, baby, and it happened to be a bottle, and I throw it at you. You're trying to get your attention, right? Didn't hit her. I'm trying to be his defense attorney, and I'm doing a lousy job. During the altercation, terrible job. I'm no Johnny Cochran. During the altercation, Hanks called Parker, who is black. Uh-oh. Hey, Mom, here you go. I don't even have to read any further. I don't have to go any further. Here we go. Yeah. I had no idea. During the altercation.
I'm not
Hanks
racist because I had a black girlfriend. That'll be a claim.
Oh, exactly. I threw a bottle at her and grabbed her by the arm and grabbed her by the pussy. I'm not racist.
Yep.
Here we go. During the altercation, Hanks called Parker, who was black, a ghetto black bitch.
Ooh.
Even Melissa go, ooh. Even Melissa, that came from Melissa. That came from Maine.
Melissa was like, ooh. That's...
I know. Wow. He called her a ghetto black bitch. and other hurtful things she alleged in the document. Parker also accused Hanks of breaking her backpack and her cell phone after he grabbed her and swung her by the pussy. No, I'll read it. After he grabbed her.
You're
her
right
cell phone. I know, it's the by the pussy thing. Grabbed her cell phone after he grabbed her and swung her. He swung her. He grabbed my phone out of my backpack, which is very disturbing. You're grown-ass people, but okay, you're carrying a backpack. I always think adults are weird when they have backpacks. I cringe. I don't know. But anyway, he grabbed my phone out of my backpack and went to the balcony and told me he would throw it off, but came back and told me to tell him where his phone was. It was my last chance. Then started slamming my phone on the floor of the hotel room, breaking it. That's what she said. He found his phone shortly after, and I grabbed my backpack again and ran out of the hotel room, and only in my pajamas. That reminds me of Tina Turner, what she did with Ike. But she just ran out of there and went to that hotel room in her underwear. Hanks also threatened to jump from the hotel room balcony. Well, he loves her. I mean, that's romantic, right? I can't live without you, baby. He threatened to jump from the hotel room's balcony if Parker left him, according to the document. Things soured again late December last year, about a week after Hanks returned to the couple's home in Sugar Land, Texas, according to the affidavit. Hanks told Parker he would blow her brains out and said he didn't want to live and wanted to blow his brains out, too. So in the affidavit, Parker said that she had her twin... That kid, Parker said she had her twin children in the home with her, waited until Hanks fell asleep, and left. She later returned to the home with her mother and hid Hanks' gun. Wow. In January, Hanks became irate and started to drive erratically after Parker informed Hanks she wanted to end their relationship. 2 days later, on January 8th, Parker said she returned to the home with movers, her assistant, and a handyman, and was greeted by a hostile Hanks, who put his hands on a knife while she packed up the kitchen. Parker said she picked up a pot. Parker said she picked up a pot and swung it at Hanks, who chased her out of the house, growled at her, and attempted to take her phone from her after she began recording him. During this process, I was screaming and asking for help, she said. The movers had come outside. The handyman and multiple neighbors were outside as well. A man driving by yelled for Chet to get off of me, and they called the police. Hanks left the property by Parker, but Parker filed a report with the police. I can go on and on and on. So what do you guys think? Is she a victim, or is she just, you know, a gold digger? Look at this.
He's guilty. The preacher, the black preacher that was abusing his kids, Kirk Franklin. On that level, they get away with murder, my friend. Abuse of the children. Theft. It's corrupt. And then they tell everyone else, go to jail for 10 years if you sell some weed back in the day. They're really liars and hypocrites. Thanks.
Well, she did something. This is the hard part. This is what she did. The day after Chet Hanks confronted Parker about stealing money from his credit card. While Ms. Parker was accompanied by a huge male carrying a gun, she viciously attacked Chet with a knife, which caused him to profusely bleed. Now, he did all that shit, but he didn't really hurt her or cut blood, but she actually attacked him with a knife, which caused him to bleed. It's all in the video. The video tells the whole story. Her claims are completely false, fabricated, and it's fictional, Hank said.
Yeah, he should go in prison if he did that. And every, I have no pity for people who are jealous to that point. Those people have problems. They think that the woman becomes their possession. I know one friend of mine had that problem, and I had to talk to him. I say, if you ever touch your ex-girlfriend, I won't be there. I'll be the one taking care of you. I had to talk to one of my friends who was very possessive. Didn't understand why he cracked bottles and everything because his ex started to talk to other guys in the club, and I had to stop him. He was going to crack her, just slap her and everything in front of everybody.
Wow.
Just possessive, just pure jealousy.
So, right.
Never understood that shit. Never understood that
right.
shit.
Our movies, our TV shows, my friends, promote this mindset. Look at most movies. Listen to most songs,
right.
especially those in certain communities. It's sexism. It's a bunch of materialism. And then the people that are programmed to be like this see leaders talking and doing similar stuff, so they think it's the cool, appropriate thing to do. Society at fault on the highest level, but the people that will go to jail are on the low level.
True. You know what happened to me one time, and this is true. I mean, listen to all you guys. I'm trying to think, hurt a woman. I was dating this woman. She was a name. Okay, I'm not going to tell you who the name. You wouldn't recognize the name. Let's leave that out of it. I was not an insecure guy, but I was insecure with her because she was a drinker, an alcoholic. And it scared me that she used to drink an alcohol. She used to drink till she passed out, and she didn't know what she did the night before. Those people scare me. So we separated. And then you get those lonely moments like, hey, you know, we're separated, but we didn't really break up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like a week. So I call her, and I said, you know, I'm coming over. And she goes, no, you can't come over. This is all true. I go, well, yeah, I'm coming over. She goes, you can't come over. I said, we're separate. Did we break up? No, we didn't break up. And I don't want you over. I go, why? What's going on? Okay. I started to get suspicious. There was something going on there. Why would you deny me? I mean, I'm the goddess of gods. You know what I mean? Something else is going on there. Because I know I'm not banging nobody. But maybe you are. I go there. My sister sees me. She goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to go over there. She goes, oh, my God, I'm going to go with you. You're acting crazy. I'm not acting because you're acting crazy, and you're not going to do anything. I said, there's something going on. I drive over there. It's like 8 o'clock, and all the lights are out. I go, why are the lights out at 8 o'clock? I'm knocking on the door. She finally opens up the door a little bit. She goes, I'm sleepy. I go, you're sleeping at 8 o'clock? Who sleeps at 8 o'clock? You better let me in, woman. She shuts the door on me, and I hear her lock the door. I go, oh, hell no. My sister says, what are you doing? I'm climbing through a window like every man would. That's what men do. You get out of that window. I climb through the window, bust through the screen. I go in there. I unlock the door. My sister comes in. She's there. She goes, what are you doing here? I go, what in the hell is going on? And she goes, well, nothing going on. I just want to sleep. I go, you want to sleep? There's something going on. You're just acting crazy. You're just jealous. I go, me jealous? What are you doing? Okay. As soon as I said that, swear to God, hand to God, this guy comes out of the bedroom in a towel. I mean, he was a Mandingo brother. I mean, fresh out of the bushes from Africa. Muscles everywhere, right? And he just comes out of the bedroom in a towel. He sees me there, and he goes, hey, what's up? I go, what's up? He goes right to the kitchen, goes in the refrigerator, gets something in the fucking towel. And then he looks at me, and he kind of waves at me, you know, shakes his head like, oh, all right, bro, I'll talk to you later. I go, what? And he walks right on in the bedroom. I looked at her, I'm going, what the fuck is going on? Oh, you're just jealous. There's nothing going on. You're always suspicious. This is a man who was in a fucking towel, went into the bedroom, went into the refrigerator, got a beer, even had the nerve to say hello to me like I was just a friend. Oh, you're just suspicious. And my sister, as a woman, saying, Brian, you're just suspicious. There's nothing going on here. I go, are you fucking kidding me? This guy comes out again, and I'm pissed off. I go, get some fucking clothes on. What's wrong with you? And he goes, who are you? I go, never mind who I am. Motherfucker, you better get some clothes on, and you better be. He goes, but then I realized he didn't know who I was, right? He didn't know who I was. So I snapped in my senses like, she was the lying bitch. He had no idea. He was just out in the night and been with her. She didn't tell him that she was in a relationship. You know what I mean? So I turned to her and going, you're a lying little bitch. Don't you? You know, and then I just left her apartment. And that was it.
And then she married me, by the way.
You silly son of a bitch. I knew that was you in the towel.
I wanted to tell you. I just didn't know.
Well, you look mighty good in the towel, my brother. I mean,
thank you, bro. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
I'm putting it down. Putting it down. If I wanted some, but, you know, I don't swing that way.
Well, you know, it was Hotep, so I had to leave. You know what I mean? I got respect for the brother. Thank you for coming in the studio. Thank our newest member of the crew. I'd love to hear your voice. Oliver, thank you as the morning crew. Thank you, my friend. I want to thank the magnificent Melissa for coming in, and I want to thank
Stanley
for coming on. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's good to hear everybody and everything.
And King.
It's good to hear you, too. And the Kings of Kings.
Great show like
thank
usual,
bro. Oh, thank you, man.
Are you going to have a show tomorrow?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Melissa. You guys miss me?
Oh, sure we did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Oliver said,
thank you.
Oliver
we were fasting
cried,
and having hunger strikes trying to bring you back.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you, Hotel. I know. Oliver started a petition to bring me back on the air. Thank
yeah,
you, Oliver.
He
did.
We got 2,000 signatures.
There you go. And one Trump supporter.
From a mental institution.
I know. We are a bunch of crazy. Thank you, guys. And King, thank you so much, everybody. We'll see you guys tomorrow, and you guys are the best. See you later, everybody.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, bro.